much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Tell me when you guys are ready.
Yeah, sure. I think we're all.
You guys need sound levels? You all good?
Yeah, just a little bit more.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, we'll dive right in here. Thanks again for taking the time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG. Ah!
You follow sports?
Oh my God, sports! I love them.
Who are your favorite teams?
I like smaller teams, like the not the big leagues. I like the Long Island Mediums, the Acorn Pine Cones.
I haven't heard
the
of
that. Fire Island Penguins. I like the Cincinnati Thunder Wizards.
You can stop.
The Orlando Blooms.
And now,
babe, the oven's ready. Chop chop, time to get bacon. Daddy want pie.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, yeah, not the way you want to start.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Kevin.
St. Patrick's Day. Normally, we would do a live remote from someplace, but Omar ruined it for us. So we'll explain that later. But our boss heard one of our remotes from St. Patrick's Day, and it didn't go necessarily well.
Right.
And he said, never again.
And you have or haven't?
Since then, no.
Yeah.
Since
never
then,
again.
Never again so far. So far.
So far.
I still have hope.
Way to go, Omar.
Let's start today's show with a very painful story. Hayden Peacock is the name of the rugby player who plays in a French league. He apparently had a partial dismemberment.
Oh, no.
While playing rugby.
What?
When we played the other week, their center pretty much ripped... I'm going to say this slowly for you.
Oh, my gosh.
Ripped my... Your guess, please?
Penis.
Penis.
Oh, no.
Off.
No.
Nearly. Nearly off.
No.
He grabbed him by the penis and pulled him down to the ground with it.
Don't you wear cups in rugby?
Well, I would think so. For that reason and many others. But then he went and got like 21 stitches or whatever and had it fixed. And then they said, hey, you know, you should wear a cup. And he's like, no, no thanks.
Well, then
right?
that's penis.
That's on him.
That's penis Darwinism, right?
Penis Darwinism.
Yeah, it's survival of the fittest penis.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
his problem.
It's not smart. That's not a smart way to go. Can you imagine?
Grabbed him by the penis.
By the
and
junk
pulled
and pulled him down. Yes.
I don't even have a penis. This just in.
Oh.
And I can't imagine that pain.
Rugby players, you know, we always talk about the different sports and what's tougher.
Like, yeah.
You know, running backs, cornerbacks in the NFL, hockey players.
Right.
We always talk about who's the toughest. Rugby, they're crazy.
Yeah.
That's straight insane.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of my favorite story of all time, which is John Hopewadi.
Sure.
Recognize the name?
Yep.
Suspended for 12 weeks about 10 years ago after being found guilty by the league of sticking his finger in other players, three other players' butts.
Yeah.
This was a tactical move where he would, and there's pictures of it and there's video of it. And he would just reach up and go, boop! I don't know why. I don't know.
Would
like, was
they
it a
drop
plan?
The ball at that point? Like, whoa.
Like a dog?
Just,
like a
right?
dog lets go of a bone?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't go that in depth. But I was fascinated that he did it three different times.
I'd want to be on that jury, right?
Yeah, that would be the best.
That'd be the best.
That really would be the best. Yeah, just to bring him up and ask him what's going on.
Yeah.
Because imagine, I mean, it would freak you out to the point of whatever you're doing, whether you have the ball or you're tackling somebody or whatever. You stop doing that.
Sure.
It works. So rugby, don't do it. Don't play rugby.
Don't play rugby. Oh,
no.
That's the takeaway.
Well, here's two things that can happen to you if you play rugby. Penis ripped off. Finger butt.
Butthole boop.
A butthole boop. And you don't want any part of that, I'm guessing.
I mean.
You do want part of that.
A lot of people like the second part.
Well, it wasn't really, it wasn't a romantic boop.
Were you there?
No.
No,
but I've seen it.
You what?
I mean, I saw the pictures of it in the video and stuff. Yeah. And it just shows him. He would look. He would see that the opportunity is there. And he would stick his finger up and just go, boop. That's not what he wants. That's not what anybody wants, right? So don't play rugby. That's the takeaway.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Kevin.
Look, what are you going to do? President calls you an ignorant mother effer? That's what you are.
Okay.
Dr. Drew's on the program today, like we do on Thursdays. We also talk to Jim Rome about sports, NFL free agency, March Madness.
Sure.
A lot going on. Mm. We have Scott Aukerman and Kulap Vilaysack. Try it again. Back up. Kulap Vilaysack.
Okay.
Pretty close.
One more.
Sort of. No, pretty close. Okay. Not even going to say it when she comes in. St. Patrick's Day disaster stories on the program today. A brand new internet roundup. Muggs went to the Shake Shack. There's a Shake Shack that opened in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And Muggs was there for the grand opening, and he did some fantastic interviews.
I can only imagine.
Really high quality. So we got that coming up. And in about a half hour, we're going to give you tickets for Batman v Superman.
Ooh.
How about that?
Excellent.
Dawn of Justice. So that's coming up just after 6 o'clock. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52. We're going to start things off this morning by giving you tickets to Batman v Superman. We're going to do that next.
What?
Ralph, what do people need to know?
People need to know a lot of things in life.
But I'm saying for this specific.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about this game.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, Batman
we
are all people. But secondly, Batman v Superman is the beginning of a series of films that will feature the Justice League. Justice League, of course, is a DC Comics' huge collection of superheroes. And so I need people who are familiar with members of the Justice League. Since it is the dawn of justice, I thought we'd start talking about some of the more famous members of the Justice League besides Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. And I'll give you a clue, and then you have to tell me which one we're talking about.
1-800-520-1067. If you want to call now, we will play the game right after the top of the hour. Ralph is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Sad news. Frank Sinatra Jr. has passed away.
Boom, boom, ba, boom, boom. Boom. Boom.
Are those the death sound
those
effects?
Those are all the bad beats. Whop,
whop,
there
whop.
We go. There's one. Frank Sinatra Jr., as you can imagine, was the son of Frank Sinatra.
What?
But he was a performer in his own right. Performed for years all over the world, singing standards in the style of his famous father. Passed away in Daytona Beach, Florida yesterday. He was in concert. He was in town for a concert and canceled it because he wasn't feeling well. And then he later had a massive heart attack at the hospital and passed away.
Wow.
Even though he had performed for many years. In fact, he was the musical director and conductor for his father as well before his father passed. He's probably best known for being kidnapped when he was a kid. In 1963 in Lake Tahoe, he was kidnapped at the age of 19. And ransomed for $240,000. Frank did pay the ransom, and he was found on the streets of Bel Air with no harm done to him. There had been rumors that the whole thing was a hoax, but the FBI says it happened. The kidnappers were caught, arrested, and did go to jail. So, Frank Sinatra Jr.
I have never heard that story once.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah. Famous Sinatra kidnapping.
No idea.
Yeah.
And then he was just walking around Bel Air?
Well, he says they dumped him off. You know, the kidnappers dumped him off. But at the time, it was a speculation that he had set it up himself with some friends to get money.
Oh.
But it turned out not to be the case. He actually was kidnapped and was released unharmed after his father paid the ransom.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Right?
How that even...
I just wanted to be proactive.
But what part of that story sounds like that thing that usually accompanies that?
Just guessing, man. I'm just trying to help you out.
Maybe a little less guessing on your part would help.
I'm doing my best to help you, Ralph.
You're not, though.
I
feel you're doing the opposite.
I feel like I'm helping.
It was pretty proactive.
Right. See? That's my point.
Fox News has announced they are canceling next week's Republican presidential debate.
Hmm.
Why, you might ask? Well...
Why?
only one guy would be on stage if they went ahead with it. I guess that's why. Not much of a debate.
Unless it's Donald Trump, then probably they would have gone ahead.
If Ted Cruz is just up there talking to himself. Donald Trump backed out Wednesday. John Kasich also backed out. Ted Cruz said, I'll talk. I'll talk for 2 hours.
I'll be there.
Nah, we're good. So there will be no debate. What's the point, really, of a Republican presidential debate at this point?
I was going to ask
you. They yelled all the things they're going to yell at each other?
They started talking about penis size, for God's sakes. Yeah. I was going to ask you, have they had way more debates than usual? Because it seems like that.
I feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they have. Because, like, as you mentioned, Donald Trump gets eyeballs. So
sit down.
All right. All right, I will. Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Hey, you too,
let's
Ralph.
Let's not forget, it's also Rubber Band Day. Let's not let that get lost in the melee, okay?
It's Rubber Band Day?
Right.
Where you celebrate the rubber band?
Yes, you do, bitches.
By?
The first rubber band was invented on this day in 1845 in London.
Huh.
What would you do without the rubber band? Life would suck. Life would suck without the rubber band.
I'm not positive my life would suck without rubber bands.
Your life would suck. Really, trust me.
Use it on a daily basis.
Really?
Yeah.
You wear underwear?
Yeah.
You have an elastic band on top of your underwear?
All right, good point.
Bite it!
Good point.
What? Charbroiled!
Wait, I have to bite it?
Charbroiled! You're burnt.
Did you check your underwear?
No.
Yeah, you did.
I just wanted to make sure.
You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
Again?
Massachusetts.
Again?
It never changes.
Massachusetts. I would guess Massachusetts.
Can we play the moment with it just happened?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the Union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Almost word for word!
I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
Almost word for word.
Well, is it Boston or not?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
No, it's not Boston. Not a state. California. California.
California. Anyway.
California has the most. God. Oh, man. All right, let's just go. Let's just be done with this.
Oh, my God.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars are born today. St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
You have a cough button over there. If you push it, it actually, yeah, no worries.
Yeah, I got it. Someone clear up this lung. Kurt Russell, 65 years old today. Actor Gary Sinise celebrates his 61st birthday. Rob Lowe is 52. Smashing Pumpkins.
I mean, Smashing Pumpkins to the day, the same moment.
May have been word for word. Yeah, that happened.
That's nuts.
Is that the first time you ever remembered that happening?
I've never remembered us repeating word for word a moment with.
Agreed.
That is wild.
I do good work.
Smashing Pumpkin singer Billy Corgan is 49. Hozier celebrates his 26th birthday. And John Boyega. You know John Boyega? From Star Wars.
Yeah.
Finn.
I love him.
He's 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have tickets for you to see a movie, a little movie called Batman v Superman. What do people need to know here, Ralph?
Well, this movie is the kickoff for the DC Universe in feature film form, anyway, of introducing us to the Justice League, the band of superheroes that came together in the DC Universe to save us all. And so I thought since Justice League is introduced in this film, we'd take a look at some of the more famous members of this super team. Teamy.
That's what was said.
That's sure what was said. I will describe for you a member of the Justice League of America, and you just need to identify that superhero.
All right.
Simple.
Let's start with Robert in Canyon Country. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Robert. Here's your question. This member of the Justice League has been a member of the team in various incarnations. The same hero has been in the Justice League as Hal Jordan, as Kyle Rayner, and also as Guy Gardner. What superhero are we talking about?
That would be the Green Lantern.
Green Lantern!
Nicely done.
In darkest day. In brightest
night.
No evil shall escape my sight.
This is a beautiful duet.
But those who worship evil's light, beware my power. Green Lantern's light!
Thank you, Robert. You win the tickets?
Man. You don't know.
Let's go to Michael in Orange. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
This superhero was a founding member of the Justice League. He is the last of his race from another planet and goes by the name John Jones.
Martian Manhunter.
Boom! Martian Manhunter. That's right. Waka waka. Love the Martian Manhunter. Now on Supergirl.
He was on The Flash at first, right?
He was on Smallville, and then I don't know if he was on Flash.
I think he was on The Flash. That's where I saw him.
Did you really?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm sticking with that answer.
You're pretty sure?
Yep. It's on The Flash.
I don't really.
Well,
I'm not quite.
I hate to argue with it. Who's the expert here?
You would be.
All right.
I remember being
Robert in Culver City. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robert. Here's your question. Although she is a very capable martial artist, this hero is best known for her sonic cry to disable her villains.
Mm-hmm. What is Black Canary?
Black Canary! Yeah. Boom! Waka waka!
Thanks for the help, Allie.
Mm-hmm. She's agreeing.
I'm right? Like Whale Girl.
Yeah.
Whale Girl.
What? I don't know.
Let's go to Mike.
How many have we given away?
We have given away three.
Wow.
We have two more. And by the way, everybody also qualifies for that trip to three metropolis cities, which is San Francisco, Chicago, and New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mike in Hollywood. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Mike. This superhero's secret identity is actually a scientist who has captured the power of a dwarf star to change his size. What hero are we talking about?
Atom.
Atom. The Atom. He can shrink down.
Four for four.
You used to mock the Atom, by the way, when I talked about him. Knowing how awesome he is on DC Legends of Tomorrow. It's awesome.
Yeah. He's not the best, though. He isn't the best of all of them.
Ray Palmer.
Roy in Van Nuys. Hi.
Hey, Roy. This member of the Justice League is known for his stretching ability, but he's also a great detective, along with his wife, Sue.
Plastic Man.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Right idea, but wrong hero. We're looking for Elongated Man. Elongated Man.
Stop it.
Okay.
Come on.
Elongated Man.
Really?
Famous Elongated Man.
You
put
should
a
be
lot
called,
of work
like, Stretchy
one.
Or something. That's not catchy.
Stretchy.
Elongated Man.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb.
It's the worst.
I'm with Allie. All right. Art in Ontario.
Oh.
Hey, Art. This hero is the Emerald Avenger of Star City. In fact, was once its mayor.
That would be Green Arrow.
Green Arrow is correct.
Nicely done.
Boom.
How about that?
Boom.
Five, just like that. They all win. They all qualify for the trip. And thanks for playing the game.
Super teams. It's super teamy.
Coming up in the next hour, we have Internet Roundup. Mm-hmm. Bunch of new videos for you. We have Jim Rome talking sports. We have Dr. Drew on the program today. A lot of stuff. But first, let's talk about Harrison Ford is actually returning to play Indiana Jones. Is that surprising to you?
It's extremely surprising. I thought after the whole, I won't say Shia LaBeouf fiasco, it seemed like they were trying to pass the baton, get Shia in there, kind of move the story along. I thought he was kind of done.
Well, he is pretty old.
He's 73.
Yeah, and now they're talking about it's not going to come out until 2019.
He'll be 76.
Good math.
Thank you.
But it seems like maybe it's a little too taxing of a role for
I would think
a guy like him. So we thought we would check in with him. Dave, the King of Mexico, tells me that we have Harrison Ford on the phone.
Awesome.
Good morning, Harrison. How are you today?
Yeah, good morning.
Get rid of the music. How are you today?
Okay.
Good. We were just reading a report that there's going to be another Indiana Jones movie and that you're going to star in it.
Yeah.
Not excited?
I'm very excited.
Okay. I think he said he is very excited.
He is excited.
Okay. Yeah. How active will you be in the movie, like stunt-wise, that type of thing?
Well, you know, you got to turn it. You got to slow. All they can stand on and the airless part of the end, they're holding Riley Collins, Upton, and Relic.
I got Relic.
Can you run still?
Yeah.
What about whips? Can you, like, whip? Nay-nay?
What's happening?
It's my penis.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Congrats, Callista.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, bony little ass.
Now, how do you feel about the last Indiana Jones movie, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? Are you happy with the way that came out?
The idea when they're going near a building in the old with Alex and the staff and crew and Nero and realizing and all of them.
I heard staff and crew.
It blew.
Okay.
Well, since they were looking to kind of pass the baton to Shia, and that's obviously not happening, do you have any preference on a younger actor that can kind of take the storyline and move it along?
Well, you know, you're playing all your life and put these things that are hip, they're all in and out. Uh-huh. And I think the guys who are killing Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Did you just say Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Will be in the next Indiana Jones movie?
Yeah, he's going to take over the role.
Yeah. Are you, Harrison, are
he
you
goes
okay?
Up against Nazis. He'll say, sit down. And then they do.
And then the movie's over?
Roll credits.
That's a cool movie.
I'm just saying there's a lot of action. There's jumping, there's running, there's fighting.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure he's the guy to take over the franchise.
Well, you know, a lot of people want to fight him.
Well, that's true.
That's true.
But he may also be the president of the United States at that time.
But he's also very familiar with the Nazi Party. So it works out that he can get the things back and the stuff and then put it all in the thing.
Put it all in the thing.
He can put it all in the thing, Kenny?
Come on, we're all people.
That's true. On the way, a brand new internet roundup. We got Jim Rohn. We got Scott Aukerman. We got Dr. Drew. We have a lot of show for you, but Shake Shack. Shake Shack.
Woo! Okay.
Shake Shack.
Woo! That's a lot.
That's a place, mm-hmm. as you can imagine, that makes shakes. And Muggs loves them.
And burgers.
And burgers.
And burgers as well.
And
yes.
Hot dogs and fries.
Take it easy.
And food for dogs.
Okay.
Shake Shack has food for dogs?
Yes.
Did you try that as well?
I did not.
Oh.
Huh. But Dave got some for Rhonda Ruffy.
Have you been to Shake Shack?
I have, but not this one.
Okay.
It just opened when? Yesterday? The day before?
Tuesday.
Okay,
opened Tuesday. Yeah.
2 days ago, yeah. I've been to one in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
And I've been to various places, but not here. So mm-hmm. very excited about it. Not as excited as Muggs.
Yeah.
So we sent Muggs out with the microphone so that he can do some interviews, and the intro for this particular piece is a little bit longer than normal.
Oh.
And by that, I mean a full minute and a half of introduction, which is, I'm Muggs, I'm at Shake Shack, let's do some interviews.
Just like that. Easy, right?
Right.
Shake Shack has finally reached the West Coast. All right, ready? No, you're going to be continuously ready. So I'll stop asking that. All right, take two. Holy crap, I am peeing my pants for the excitement to eat this burger. That didn't make sense.
Not really.
Ladies and gentlemen of the K-Rock audience, it has finally happened. You will remember the day where you were... Ladies and gentlemen of the K-Rock audience, it has finally happened. It has come to fruition. The first Shake Shack to hit the Pacific Coast. Right here in West Hollywood, we're standing on Santa Monica and La Cienega. And ladies and gentlemen,
close.
Stop saying ladies and gentlemen a lot.
Oh, that was close.
Ladies and gentlemen of the K-Rock audio blah.
Right?
Okay.
We are here right here. God, I hope my meter doesn't run out. Okay.
Okay, I just want to pause for a second.
He
hopes his meter doesn't run out during the intro. He's not even gotten into any interviews yet.
Ladies and gentlemen of the K-Rock audience, you will always remember this day and where you were the first location of God damn it, mother. You'll always remember where you were the day that Shake Shack opened in Los Angeles.
Boom, mother.
Oh, nailed it.
See, you're real proud.
But nailed it.
I'm saying after all of that, I'm not sure there's a boom mother effer that should be said. Like you nailed it and you were really on top of your game.
Yeah, it took me a while, but I was very ecstatic that I finally nailed it.
Okay, good.
Nailed it.
So Muggs is talking to people in line, and as he does, he spends most of the time talking himself.
Sure.
And does not interview or put the mic over toward the mouth of the person that he is interviewing.
I got to let you know, Aaron, I'm starting my diet today, but right after I have a Shake Shack burger.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So I'm going to get a nice layer going and then, you know, maybe go on like a 3-mile hike or something. But this is my last hurrah. And I had a Shake Shack in Vegas at New York. So I fell in love with it. So I'm really happy they're opening up. So if you have any leftovers, Aaron, you know, I'm kind of broke right now. You know, hook a brother up, you know?
All right, for sure.
Oh, there he is.
Thanks, Aaron.
He's there.
Awesome.
Good work.
I know. I need to go to like a class to have them remind me to put the mic up to their mouth.
I don't feel like you need a class.
Oh,
for that.
You don't.
Right?
Okay.
As, like when you see their mouth moving.
That's when you
just put the mic there.
Put it over there. And how did the 3-mile run go after yesterday?
It was no mile run. Zero.
Mm, yeah. How about that? Okay. Muggs interviews somebody who is in line since 4 a.m. Did he fly out here just for this? Or
yes.
Was he out here as a
the two guys. One guy was from New York, and the other guy flew out. He lived here, and they were both here at 4 a.m.
Okay.
This man, Roxas, flew all the way from New York. How long have you guys been waiting in the Shake Shack line, the very first one in Los Angeles?
We've been here since 4 a.m.
Holy mackerel. Have you been starving since then?
It's a good question.
It's a long.
Have you been starving since then?
Yeah. Right?
Because they're in line for Shake Shack.
Right.
And they were there at 4 a.m.
First ones in line.
Right. Is Shake Shack still open, like, today?
Yeah, but
then tomorrow.
But they were anticipating the grand opening, Kevin. This was the first one in Los Angeles ever.
And he flew in from New York. Where they have a Shake Shack.
Yeah, but he likes to go to all the openings.
Wow,
he's that. Have you been starving since then?
Yes.
And what is it about Shake Shack that drew you here to 4 a.m. to wait in line at the grand opening?
This is maybe my 13th different location I've been to, and every Shake Shack has its own different sandwich or concrete or shake.
Oh, that's what I heard about. They have a California exclusive.
Yes.
Do you know anything about that, Roxas? You can tell the K-Rock audience?
I haven't seen. I think it's called the Roadside Double. It has like a honey Dijon mustard, kind of their take on a French dip. But everything they make on a potato roll, amazing.
He sort of turned into Muggs right there.
Right? Yes.
Everything that they put in roll, amazing.
He was a Shake Shack expert.
Who goes to 13 different locations for the grand opening of a Shake Shack?
Roxas from New York.
That's insanity.
And some have different concrete?
Yeah.
What?
Some concretes are like their ice cream, their shakes. So you can get it in like a malted shake form or like in a cup, like, you know, like you would at an ice cream store.
Okay.
I feel like when he said concrete, you should have punched him in the face.
Right.
Right?
Agreed.
Okay. Now Muggs does his Chicago chunk. I didn't know that had a Chicago chunk, but he sure does.
And here, ladies and gentlemen, I behold the Shaq-cago dog.
Yeah, I behold.
Oh, yeah. That's good there. That is a good dog there. When you take a bite of it, it makes you talk like you're from Chicago.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's good there. Mm-hmm. That's a Chicago dog. That's the Shake Shack. Bill Swirsky. I think I'm having a heart attack.
Was that your Chris Farley?
It was.
It was kind of a mixture of three different things.
The Chicago Bears guys.
And then, thanks for clarifying. And then, finally, Muggs sits down to eat. And he really, really enjoys himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Now, do we like this so far?
No.
Yes.
We don't like it.
No.
Is it too sexual
it's
for
disgusting.
You?
It's disgusting. Just
ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
There are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
good morning.
So that happened.
Why?
But what is a good interview without a good remix?
What?
Of an interview.
What?
And in this particular case, I would like to introduce you to Beer Mug and Allie McKay.
No!
Yeah!
No!
ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
There are no words.
I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was horrible.
Was it as good for you, Ellie?
Oh, God. I hate it here.
Come on. That was the best ever.
No. Let's play it again. Who wants to play it again?
Let's play it again. Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
oh God.
Oh, God.
Oh.
There are no words.
I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
Oh,
it was horrible.
Why would you do that, Kevin?
That is awesome.
No, it's not.
Because
Mom.
It's awesome. Are you the only one? Chip, awesome?
Awesome.
Mugs?
Awesome.
Me? Awesome. Sorry, Allie. Getting a lot of good response from Allie and Beer Mugs Duets album called Smell It. Very excited about that. A lot of people seem to love it, want us to play it more often. So I feel like we might need to.
I don't think we do.
You don't think we need to at all?
Nope.
Come on, could be the next Captain and Tennille.
Or Peaches and Herb.
Peaches and Herb.
Wow, that happened. That happened.
It happened, and it was magic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Nope. Right. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Happy
My leprechaun.
It's like talking to my grandpa.
Yeah.
Your grandpa's a leprechaun?
Yeah. Papa. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh. Did you ever put your hand in his pot of gold?
Of what?
Wow.
Now
that went south quick.
Man, oh, man.
That's what they have. Leprechauns have pots of gold.
Yummy.
Right? You know St. Patrick died in 461?
I did not
know
that.
The year 461. Been gone a long time. And we still celebrate him. Probably the most popular of all the saints, don't you think? Really? When you
well,
think
maybe.
About it,
most popular, maybe.
I think so.
Sure.
Except for maybe St. Joseph.
Sure.
He's a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his own aspirin and stuff. Just saying.
Yes, he does.
When it comes to saints, he's pretty well known.
Yeah.
Right.
You know why we celebrate on March 17th for St. Patrick's Day?
No, I don't, actually.
Because there's always been an age-old debate on what date he died.
Huh.
Some say he died on March 8th. Some say he died on March 9th. And so what they did was, in the spirit of compromise, add the two dates together, and they came up with the 17th.
That's not a... What? That's stupid.
It's perfect. It's the perfect compromise. This way nobody wins, except for St. Patrick.
Is that what you want, is nobody to win?
Yes, that's the perfect compromise, when everybody feels like they've lost a little something. So, today we celebrate the passing of St. Patrick, who of course drove all the snakes out of Ireland. Which was not hard. No, was not hard, because there were no snakes in Ireland. So, that doesn't really count
didn't
as a miracle,
take it very long.
I don't think at all, no. I would hazard a question right now, but...
Massachusetts?
Nailed it.
For those of you who missed out on the earliest showbiz beat this morning, I asked Kevin the question if he knew what state in the Union had the most number of Irish Americans in it.
Did you say state?
I did.
I remember that.
I said state. And his response was exactly the same response he gave me a year ago to the day when I asked the same question. Here's what it sounded like then.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the Union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So I asked that question this morning, and you know what Kevin's answer was?
What?
Boston.
It was Boston.
Once again.
It was.
Now we need to build A Moment With Inside A Moment With. It's like Inception.
Inception
We're
going
to have to spin a top to see what year we're in, because you're starting now just to fold in on yourself.
Kevin.
I don't think we even need to make another one. That was identical
to it.
We
need like
an hour ago.
Like a harp glyph showing the passage of time, and then we come back in and we put the same one right on the tail end.
We'll work on that.
We just make it a twofer.
Oh, Kevin.
He's the best.
Right?
Really
That's
is.
What we're saying.
That's what we're saying.
Rest in peace.
For sure.
Hey, I don't think he's dead yet.
Oh, sorry.
Nike rolled out their new sneakers yesterday. You know what they were?
Nope.
The Nike Hyper Adapt 1.
Okay.
What?
Those are the shoes Marty McFly wears in Back to the Future. You put them on, laces automatically tighten, shoe lights up, boom, it exists. We're living in the future. Congratulations. We all win.
When was the anniversary of that? Wasn't it like a month or two ago?
Yeah, but, you know.
So do it then or not now.
They're off a couple months on 30 years,
I'm
Kevin.
Saying it was
Jeez.
A 30-year anniversary. What does it take?
Well, they had the prototype, but now they've released them. Now you can wear them. When you get into your DeLorean and you got your hoverboards, we live in a magical time.
We don't have any of those things.
Biff Tannen's going to be president.
I don't think so.
It's going to be the best.
Pretty much.
Do you ever have a crush on someone?
Yeah.
we know your answer to that, Ellie, but there's more to the story. For a long, long time, maybe from afar, and then you finally end up with that person. I always find that kind of amazing.
Waka, waka.
See?
Oh, hi, Fozzie.
You and Fozzie ended up together.
And then you end up with them. No, that's never happened to me.
Well, it's happened for Tom Hanks. It's an amazing story. Tom Hanks, of course, married to the lovely and talented Rita Wilson. He fell in love with her way back in 1972.
Okay.
How did that happen, you may ask?
How did that happen?
I'm glad you asked.
Mm-hmm.
Rita Wilson, it turns out, was a child actress.
Ew.
Stop. And she was a guest star in an episode of The Brady Bunch.
Really?
She played a cheerleader friend of Marcia's on The Brady Bunch.
Okay.
And when Tom Hanks would watch that episode of The Brady Bunch, he had a huge crush on the girl playing the cheerleader.
Aww.
He remembers watching the episode and thinking, my God, she's so adorable. And then, flash forward to 1988, boom, they get married. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It's kind of magical. It's meant to be. All right, just thought I'd bring that up.
How old was he when he saw her?
48.
No, he wasn't.
48 years old?
He was probably the same age, whatever her age was, probably similar. 72, probably a kid. Kevin, you may be sad to hear CBS announced yesterday they are pulling the plug on the show Person of Interest.
What?
I thought I said that pretty clearly. CBS is pulling the plug on the show Person of Interest.
I love that show.
But they haven't even aired the new season
well,
yet.
Well, this upcoming fifth season will indeed be the final season for Person of Interest.
But Sarah
which is
Shahi.
Good. Which is good because it gives... I don't think she's on that show anymore.
Yeah, she returns this season.
But I don't think she's coming back for this season, is she?
Yeah, she returns for this new season.
Is Steve Kuznicek in it?
He is not. Oh. He is, however, Steve Kuznicek is on the new show, Nancy Drew, that she is doing. So it's okay that the show's over.
Not with me. I liked it.
Yeah, it's a great show.
The show will wrap up on the series finale on June 21st, a Tuesday. So you'll get to see that. But look, it gives them a chance, I guess, to put together a final episode, which is always nice and tidy.
Gotta be honest, they really, really chewed through story, and I think maybe they're out. Because they did pretty much everything you could do.
Speaking of which, Nashville came back last night?
Yeah.
Did you watch, Hallie?
I didn't. I look forward to seeing Nashville on Thursday.
Wait, you loved it,
home.
Ralph.
I do love that show.
Oh,
but
no. What's that face for?
Because it's starting to pale. I think it's kind of jumped the shark.
But Raina and Deacon got married.
Yeah, but Deacon has just become just a whiny douchebag.
Oh, no. Well... I think you can look forward to Steve Kazee's art.
Oh, sweet heaven.
Lord.
What is the Steve Kazizik's thing?
Yeah, Kazee. He's got an arc on Nashville.
Okay,
on
but no
soon.
One knows who he is, and you won't stop talking about Steve Kazizik's.
People know.
People don't know Steve Kazizik's.
Yeah, Steve Kazee won a Grammy and a Tony for his work on Once the Musical. He's amazing.
Simply isn't true.
He was on the show Shameless.
It's just
fantastic.
Happening.
Fantastic.
I don't know what happening? Piece of the pie you get, but stop selling us Steve Kazinnik.
Steve Kazee for president. Steve Kazee.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kurt Russell, 65 years old today. Gary Sinise turned 61. Rob Lowe is 52. Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins, 49 years old today. Hozier celebrates his 26th birthday. And John Boyega.
Aw.
The guy will forever be known as Finn from Star Wars. He doesn't have to work another day in his life. He can just show up at Comic-Cons and sign pictures for $100 a pop and just live off the fat of the land. or the fat of the nerd, if you will. He celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dave, the King of Mexico, has joined us in the studio.
Hey, everyone.
Hi, Dave.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Great, thank you.
Top of the morning to you.
We got a brand new Internet Roundup for you.
It's the Internet Roundup.
I'm not sure that you should be breakdancing.
Oh.
I'm not sure that's your thing. Describe for us, A, why we have a guy cutting a tomato with a knife on the Internet Roundup. Because I watched it last night and I was like, okay, this is dumb. But apparently there's something I was missing. Allie, what am I missing about this clip?
It's something called ASMR. It's Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. And it's people that really enjoy these certain sounds, like gentle whispering, the cutting sound. It actually makes like the back of their neck tingle. And a lot of people use it to either calm down. And a lot of people actually are really aroused
by the sound of cutting a tomato with a knife?
Those sounds, certain people's voices, it's weird. There's a whole genre of ASMR videos.
But okay. Add that on top of this is in reverse.
Yeah, they do.
So
they
makes a viral video.
Yeah, he's cutting a tomato, but they reversed it. So
yeah.
You get this.
There's someone in their car right now that's just like, oh,
oh
yeah.
Man.
They're going,
that
whoa.
Was good. Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh. All right.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Right?
Okay, Kevin.
She's literally getting
hey, it works. Look at that.
There's an app called Face Swap Live.
Yeah, people, stop it.
Why stop it? It's funny.
No, it's not.
It is funny.
No.
What if Harry Potter was a bodybuilder?
Okay,
it's the name of this video. Oh, I'm sorry. This one's good?
This is funny. Yeah.
Don't you hate it when you're in the gym trying to get huge and every muggle in there asks you for a spot? I mean, what is this? Harry Spotter.
See, Harry Potter.
It's just a jacked up dude with Harry Potter's face. It's awesome.
Sesame Street has their own version of Bone Thugs and Harmony, The Crossroads. Pretty weird.
That's a good song, but Grover singing it's even better.
Grover is better than that one?
No.
Oh, that one is better than the original.
Yes.
I gotcha. Removing socks with a rocket launcher. Now, this I love.
Of course.
When I saw the title of this, I thought I was going to see Kevin.
Yeah.
Because the guy actually has a rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a lot of different things. This is, I don't know, this is not the original video. He's done like a bunch of them with a rocket launcher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This particular one, he is removing his socks with a rocket launcher. So
yeah.
He's sitting on his truck or whatever, and he's got something tied to his socks, and he shoots the rocket, and his socks come off. Best thing ever?
Is it?
Yes!
I will try to remove my socks with a rocket launcher. See you later, socks!
Oh, my God, that is your boyfriend.
Sort of it is. Yeah, it sort of is. Hamilton star Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Yep.
He does a freestyle rap right in front of the Oval Office with just a drummer and President Obama, who's holding cards that say words on it. In live time, he has to work those words into his rap.
Short, oh my gosh, this is my book report. And immigrants, we get the job done. This is so fun. POTUS is holding up the signs. I'm not done. It's the Oval Office. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm there. It's so much more intimidating than if it was square. Opportunity knocks, and I can't stop. I'm here with the president and my pops. And, yo, the mic drops.
Not bad. Not bad at all, A. And, B, I want to be a president in your last term.
Right? Whatever.
In the last
Whatever.
Year of your term. Hey, you want to do a rap in front of the Oval Office? Come on out. It'd be great. We also have Ariana Grande. You heard me. On SNL. And she does some fantastic impressions. And this one is her doing Britney Spears.
All right, bye-bye. I stood in Cavalier.
Not bad.
Yeah, that's her saving title in an SNL sketch.
Did it save title, do you think?
At that moment, it did.
No, I don't think
but,
so either.
But she was great on this show.
That's what I heard. I heard she. Yeah, I she saw another really one great. Of the impressions yeah. that she did, and she really does. Who does musical singing voice impressions? Very few people, but she does it really well. Zac Efron can't stop taking selfies. This is Funny or Die. And basically, he got a selfie stick, mm-hmm. and he's taking selfies so much that they can't continue with their movie.
He took a selfie of a fan taking a selfie of him. We pay a very good on-set photographer to take pictures of literally every moment of Zach's day. So there's no legitimate reason that he needs to carry that selfie stick around.
And yet he does.
I wonder if he got a selfie with Beer Mug. This is Beer Mug's movie.
This is Beer Mug's movie?
Yeah, Mike and Dave need wedding dates.
Oh, this the is one where that Beer Mug went to Hawaii.
Ooh, yeah. I see. All right. Probably not. I can answer that. Probably not. Honest trailers can make any movie seem terrible. Doesn't matter whether you liked it or not. This is The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2.
You should have saved PETA.
Now, cringe as his character evolves from a liability who almost gets people killed to a liability who actively kills people who no one in the entire franchise can shut the f*** up about.
It's hard to see PETA this way. That's not PETA.
So, PETA.
If PETA didn't kill it, her own arrogance did.
It was PETA that she wanted rescued from the arena.
You saw PETA, didn't you?
And PETA Malone.
It's from PETA.
It's for PETA.
PETA.
Hey, PETA.
PETA!
Isn't it obvious? The next move is to kill me.
Man, even PETA's over PETA.
And finally, Instant Karma. Tell us about this, Dave. Where did you find this?
Online. It's just a collection of videos.
Really? I thought yeah. it was not on the internet.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's just a collection of videos of people kind of like talking crap, and then they get served right after they talk crap.
It's called Instant Karma, Instant Justice. And in this particular one, there's two clips. One is a guy sees a cop with his lights on and goes, ha ha, somebody's getting pulled over. And then the cop swings around right behind him. And pulls him over. And the other one is a cab driver getting held up with a cop car right behind him. So the guy's got a gun and the cop just walks up and says, hey, why don't you do less of that? Instant Karma is this.
Someone's about to get stopped and it ain't me. Watch this. Stay on Snapchat. Damn it.
I don't care. Wallet and your phone. I need your wallet. No, please don't give me a phone. I need that for my... There's a cop behind us. There's a cop behind us.
What's the problem? Get out. Get out. You got a gun?
He has a gun. He had it in my head. He had a gun in my head.
Cop is right there.
How lucky for that cab driver.
His voice. That's the saddest.
It is a little sad,
it's
but it ended well.
Super sad,
but it ended well.
It did
end well. Okay. Instant Karma, Instant Justice is the name of that. You can find all of these videos, including the one where they cut a tomato, if you'd like.
Yeah.
At KevinandBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Oh! So today is St. Patrick's
Day. Happy Patrick's Day for life and all for
Remember we used to celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Every year we mm-hmm. would get together and we would find ourselves a optimum locale, usually an Irish bar of some kind, and we'd set up a live broadcast and we'd have listeners come down and we would have guests, celebrity guests, and we would cocktail and do shots on the air.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, the joy we had. Everyone, especially Bean, I think, really enjoyed those live broadcasts. I know the listeners loved them. It sounded like they were part of a party while they were driving to work. You got them in the St. Patrick's Day spirit. Yearly, we would have an event on the air that was just, it made life worth living.
One of those times, I had gotten a new car the day before we did our broadcast, and I valet parked it.
Sure.
And then I gave him my ticket, and he brought me my car, and I got in it and drove off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't mine.
Yep. What?
Wasn't my car.
Kevin stole a car on St. Patrick's Day.
So then I had to make a U-turn and go back, and I thought I'm gonna sneak back in before anybody notices. But the traffic was stopped, so I was in the left turn lane in front of the place we had the party, and I heard somebody say, "That's my car!"
Yeah. The woman whose car he had stolen was screaming, pointing, saying, "That's the guy. He stole my car."
That happened. I think I actually got out of the car in the middle of the road because she walked through traffic because it wasn't moving. And I was like, sorry about that.
Kevin had no idea what his car looked like.
How dare you?
He's my
favorite.
Mine
was black and it was really, really dark green.
Very different. Very different colors. And Kevin got in the car and he looked in the back seat and said, "Oh, stupid valet left a hairbrush in my car."
Yeah, I did get upset.
That's not my hairbrush. That's disgusting. It was the woman who owned the car's hairbrush in her own car, as she has every right to be.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Another time, Omar maybe had a little too much to drink. And
maybe.
And went behind the bar.
You know what you could see coming off him? You could see fumes of alcohol the way you see on a hot summer's day when the asphalt in the distance has that rippling effect.
Yeah.
You could actually see the booze coming off of him that day.
I actually have audio. I'm going to play this, then I'll tell you about behind the bar. But this is audio from that show, and this is the last live broadcast that we were allowed to do because of Omar.
This is our final St. Patrick's Day live broadcast.
Omar is in charge in this, what you're about to hear, only of... That's his whole participation. And this is what it sounded like on the air.
Speaking of whores... Stop playing that! Must you hit the horn every time? I said whores, not horns. No, I said whores.
Omar's just upset that his microphone's off.
Yeah, I guess so. Ashley Dupree, who was the whore,
right?
That New York Governor Elliot.
Okay, A.
I was trying to do showbiz beat there.
A, how is it possible anyone listened to that? We were having a great time, but I'm not sure it translates necessarily.
Come on, Kevin, that's good radio.
And then right after that show.
We had to turn his mic off, remember, because he kept talking. That's why his mic was off.
He wouldn't shut up, so we turned off his mic, so now he starts playing the reggaeton horn all the time. So then after the show, he goes behind the bar and starts pouring drinks for people.
Well, now let's set it up. He goes to the bar because he hasn't had enough to drink at this point. And he says to the bartender, can I get another drink? Which in Omar speak meant, can I get another drink? And surprise, surprise, on St. Patrick's Day, bartender's kind of busy.
Right.
So the guy says, I'll get back to you. Mm-hmm. And Omar decides, I'm not going to wait for him. I'm going to go to the self-serve lane of the bar.
Which is behind the bar.
Which doesn't exist. So he went behind the bar and started working the taps, pouring himself beer and making himself drinks.
So the security guard came up to me and said, I know he's with you guys. You know, what should we do? And I said, what would you normally do? And he said, I'd throw him out. So I said, throw him out. So they threw Omar out.
Security threw Omar out of the bar where we were doing the broadcast.
And I'll bet it wasn't 2.5 minutes later he was back
in. We turned around like, how the hell did you get back here?
I don't know. I don't know how he got
back
here.
He's a booze ninja.
He really is.
That's what he is.
So our boss heard that last part of the show and decided, zero, no more. You guys cannot celebrate on St. Patrick's Day anymore.
Just another in a long line of poor decisions he's made.
Correct. Yeah. I agree, because that was really fun, at least for us.
Right.
And then there was the next day, and then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 for St. Patrick's Day disasters. 1-800-520-1067. The next day after St. Patrick's Day, Beer Mug was supposed to come in and run the board because I think Psycho Mike was off or something. So Beer Mug, I don't know, it was 6 a.m. We were like, I don't know, where's Beer Mug?
Unfortunately, it was like a week like this where St. Patrick's Day was midweek. So we did have work the next day, and all of us came in much worse for wear. But we made it.
We were
in,
here.
We made it into the show, except for Beer Mug. And we're waiting.
6:15, 6:20.
We're waiting, and then we start calling, and we're calling, and we're calling. No answer, no answer, no answer. So we assume the best. He's dead.
Yeah.
How dare you? And finally, Beer Mug does pick up his cell phone.
Was it 8?
Around 8 o'clock. Quarter after 8.
Yeah, I mean, we start at 5:30. At quarter after 8, he calls us from a bush.
I go out last night, obviously.
Obviously.
And surprisingly, I usually have a deep awareness, even when I'm drinking, of what I have to do the next day, what time it is, where I have to be. So I kind of, like, prepare for that.
That's the functioning part of being an alcoholic.
Right.
Right.
The part that all of a sudden snuck up on me was I'm laying in a bush in a neighborhood in Chatsworth.
He doesn't have any idea how he got there. We weren't doing the show in Chatsworth.
We were downtown.
He ended up in a bush in Chatsworth.
Yeah. Yeah, the sun hitting me in the face was my alarm clock.
Oh,
at about 8:05. So that happened.
Wow.
It was bad.
Really? So we're going to take your calls. And by the way, the part where he goes, normally I'm very aware of what my responsibilities are. BS.
I don't know. Usually I know exactly how much to drink to make sure I'm at work the next day.
So we thought it'd be funny to look back on St. Patrick's Day pasts and, you know, set the bar. We're setting the bar this morning for what you should have tried to accomplish later on today. We would like to hear your St. Patrick's Day party disaster story. So we give some people something to shoot for. So, oh, I can do better than that. I can wake up in a bush in Santa Clarita. I can outdo that.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls.
Me lucky charms.
Taking St. Patrick's Day disaster calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Can we start the segment off with a caveat, which is the firm belief of the Kevin and Bean Show in all cases? Don't drink and drive. Don't ever drink ever. And then get behind the wheel of an automobile. Even if some of these calls may involve that, we do not approve of that sort of behavior. In an Uber world where we live in, none of that is necessary. So get yourself a sober ride and don't drink and drive.
Agreed. And you know what we forgot is the day that we were describing where Omar got thrown out and we did all that stuff, we all had to be driven home by the van drivers.
Yes.
We all had to leave our cars
there. They put us in the back of a K-Rock promotional van.
That's true.
Like we were prisoners in a transport and then one by one dropped us off at our respective homes. So
I love it.
We did the right thing even though we were not in the right mind.
Be responsible, right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Dennis in Chino Hills. Hi, Dennis.
Hi.
Talking about St. Patrick's Day disasters.
It wasn't even the end of St. Patrick's Day. It was around 4:30 p.m. I woke up on the side of the 210 freeway in Azusa with my engine running in my truck. I was laid across the front seat, had my passenger door open. Uh-huh. I had puked all over my running boards on that side. And I woke up, I sat up. It was 4:30, so it was traffic.
A lot of traffic.
No one had bothered pulling over or stopping. I sat up,
closed
my
door. Oh, yeah, you're blaming them because they didn't pull over and stop and help you.
How dare they not come and wipe my chin from my booze vomit? I hope you did the right thing and just slept it off.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know what time I got there, but I know I had started like at 9:30 that morning.
Yeah.
That's the best.
It really is the best.
Day drinking is just the best, isn't it?
Thank you for the call. It is odd to be doing this show and be drunk by, I don't know, 6:30 or so.
It's weird for us when we start drinking in the dark.
Yeah.
And then when you come out drinking, it's bright sunlight in your eyes, or as I like to call it, God's flashlight.
That's weird. Let's go to Gabriel in Ontario. Hi, Gabriel.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. St. Patrick's Day disasters.
So anyway, I'm at USC partying it up with my friends. And anyway, my other friend gets in a fight with somebody. I ended up booking it, taking off.
Hold right there.
The wingman.
Hold right there. So your friend gets in a fight and you turn and run.
I turn and run. Okay. I mean, there's five guys. I'm too drunk to fight. I can't even do anything. I can't even barely stand up.
You can run.
And so I go. I hide behind the dumpster and I'm so drunk. I just kind of lean over. My friend's talking to me. And I lean over and I puke all over myself. I didn't even push myself over. He was such a good friend. He didn't even try to push me over for the puke. And I ended up puking all over myself. And my brother called. I tried to give him directions. He can't give me directions. I had to ping myself to actually find where I was at UCLA so he could come and get us. We were close.
Gabriel.
You had to ping yourself to find your location.
Siri, where am I?
It's a miracle you're alive.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was an awesome night.
Yeah, congratulations. Something you're proud of.
Thank you, Gabriel. Let's go to Phil, who is calling us from Pasadena. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Well, thank you.
Well, my one was about when I first got here about 20-odd years ago. I was told everybody eats corned beef and cabbage, and I had never eaten corned beef and cabbage in my life. So okay. I ended up with a plate of corned beef and cabbage in the afternoon, followed by about 18 pints of Guinness, which was a horrible mix.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it wasn't good. So, I ended up drinking all day. My wife ended up taking me home. I was in an absolute nightmare of a state. I just ended up crashing out. About an hour later, felt sick, couldn't get out of bed quick enough on the corned beef and cabbage. Ended up in my wife's hair.
Yep.
It ended up in my wife's hair, and it took her about 3 years.
All right. Enjoy your breakfast,
corned
everybody.
Corned beef shampoo. Yeah,
and I got about $300 with the bedding as well, so everything was a disaster.
You do good work. Keep doing what you're doing, well, Phil.
You know, it's true what Phil said. You know, in Ireland, they don't eat corned beef. That's not a thing.
Uh-uh.
It's an American.
Really?
For some reason, everybody in America thinks, oh, that's the ultimate Irish meal, right? Corned beef and cabbage. You can't find corned beef in Ireland.
This listener texted, I once got so drunk on St. Patrick's Day in downtown Los Angeles, being such a lightweight, I actually got in a little brawl with a few people. The last thing I remember was falling down after somebody punched me. Fast forward to the next day, I woke up in a hospital in Anaheim with a catheter.
And what? Wait.
And no idea how I got there.
Wow. Whoa. That's the worst surprise ever.
Oh, man.
Hangover's bad. Hangover with a catheter?
Oh,
much worse.
The worst. All right. Let's go to Jor-El.
Ah, from the planet Krypton.
Sure. Hi, Jor-El.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We're taking calls on St. Patrick's Day disasters.
Right. So me and my girlfriend started drinking at about noonish. So typically we were done by probably about 8 at night. So we crawl into bed. Everything's, you know, good. She gets up a little about 30 minutes later, and she goes, walks to the middle of the room. I said, hey, you all right? She goes, yeah, I'm fine. Squats down and starts peeing all over the hardwood floor.
Oh, no.
Now, did you get a sense that she knew where she was, or she thought she was in the bathroom, or?
She was glossy-eyed, but she seemed like, oh, everything's fine. Yeah, I got to go take care of something.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, she did.
She did that. I mean, technically,
so,
she took care of something.
She squats down, pees everywhere, and I said, hey, you're peeing everywhere. And she goes, hey, yeah, I got to pee. I was like, okay. She stands up, grabs a broom, and starts sweeping it.
No!
Well, at least she's trying to be responsible by spreading it
curling.
All around.
She thought she was curling.
Thank you for the call. Wow.
I think if you talk about pee stories, I think Wes has her beat.
You do?
Line two, yeah.
Do we need another pee story?
I think so.
Wes in Burbank, hi.
How's it going?
Good. St. Patrick's Day disasters.
So I don't even remember what time I started drinking. I was drinking Jameson Irish whiskey all day.
Good man.
Nice.
Well, I woke up at like 11 o'clock, and my girlfriend says, we had a studio apartment back in Kentucky, and she goes, you know what you did, right? And I said, no, what? And she said, you peed in the refrigerator.
What?
You opened the door and peed in the fridge.
I kind of remember, I thought it was a dream, because I remember standing there in my underwear.
It was a nightmare, is what it was for your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Opened the door and peed in the fridge.
Apparently, I did.
Wow.
Wes.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem good.
No.
All right. Thank you for the call, Wes. Let's go to somebody who blames Ralph Garman. How about
that?
Come
on. What?
How about if we go to that?
How is it my fault?
How about if we go to Jeff in Laverne? Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Ralph.
What is it with the tone? Jeff, what did I do?
Well, it was a liquid breakfast. I can't even remember the year. Flogging Molly played.
Oh, that was a good one. That was a good year.
And Dave King, who used to be the singer from Fastway back in the 80s, it was basically started with a trivia question, and next thing I know, we're drinking shots of Jameson. I'm getting put in a car with the trash bags, handle over each ear, and I'm vomiting profusely all the way home and passed out on the lawn.
And that's Ralph's fault?
Thank you, Ralph.
How?
Yeah.
Oh,
how's it my fault?
It started with the trivia question, and then you said, oh, you have to do a shot. Then he said I had to do a shot, and then you did a shot.
You know that's not legally binding, right?
It's still Ralph's fault.
I'll take it. I can wear that. I got broad shoulders. I can carry
you can
that.
Take that
yeah,
one?
I'll take that
That's
one.
Not a problem. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53. Jim Rome coming up just after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here for
Guys Are Legends
at the Showbiz Beat.
Kevin and Bean, legends. Happy to be here.
Not to mock, man.
Talk about sports. Love Jim. You know, sex and celebrity.
Good and good.
Go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. People are fascinated by stories of celebrities and their sex lives. That's obvious by all the attention this Hulk Hogan v. Gawker case is getting. Mm-hmm. The $100 million trial pitting Hulk Hogan against Gawker for airing a clip of the sex tape that he made with the wife of Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, my God. Oh.
There's a little clip there.
Nope.
Heather Clem is her name. Now, for those of you who don't know the story, Gawker put up a piece of this sex tape that was filmed of Hulk Hogan having sex with his best friend's wife. And at the time, apparently the story was, everybody was aware this was something they did. Everybody's above board. Hulkster knew he was being filmed. Everybody had a good time. And then the clip got exposed on the internet, and everybody changed their story and started saying, oh, no, this is an invasion and blah, blah, blah.
I thought the original version of this video came out a long time ago. Was that the Gawker one? Are we talking about the same one? Because
yes.
I thought it came out before. Oh, so Gawker was when it came out.
Gawker was the site that first put the clip, online. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Hulkster is suing them for $100 million for, I don't know, pain, I guess? I'm not really sure. Here's the thing. If we all weren't so uptight about sex and nudity, none of these things would matter and everything would go away. It would just be like, you wouldn't even feel a need to put a sex tape online because people have sex all the time and who cares?
Well, lucky people.
The Hulkster cares.
He didn't say sex with someone else.
And Heather Clem, the ex-wife of Bubba the Love Sponge, who was a shock radio DJ down in Florida, who was good friends with Hulk Hogan, she gave a deposition where she said that she wasn't aware that the sexual encounter with Hulk Hogan was being recorded. Now she's claiming she had no idea she was being recorded. I was asked to go to Mr. Bollea's room, that's Hulk Hogan's real name, Terry Bollea, by my husband, and I did, she testified.
So her husband said, hey
go
bone visit
the guy in there, will you? Now, she said that her ex-husband did enjoy recording her having sex with other men. But in this particular case, she had no idea that she was being filmed.
Please.
Please. Please.
That's alleged.
This is the same lawsuit, by the way, where Hulkster said that Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch penis, but he doesn't.
Terry does
Terry.
The character.
Terry doesn't. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's very complicated. She said that she had told her husband to destroy the video after she discovered it had been taped. She believed that he had done so until Gawker published a portion of that tape online in 2012.
So is she joining the Hulk in suing Gawker?
She is a witness in favor of the Hulkster's position, which was that this whole taping happened surreptitiously and that he deserves $100 million for pain and suffering for them having exposed it. So there have you. I wish we still did sex you, because this is a phenomenon to me is always fascinating. It's called the hot wife lifestyle, mm-hmm. where men with attractive women, their greatest sexual pleasure comes from watching their wives with other men. That's their thing. That's what they do. And this Bubba the Love Sponge, apparently he was a guy. He was one of those guys who got enormous sexual gratification out of watching his wife with other men, even more so than being with her himself.
Wow.
Huh. It's called the hot wife lifestyle.
Is it?
Yes. And if we still did sex you like I did back in the day, we could explore it deeply. But now the lawyers...
Let's start it again, Ralph.
The lawyers frown on that. Hey, look, what do we got to lose, right? Who knows how much longer we're going to be here anyway? It's right around the corner. And we'll go out with a bang. What do you say, everybody? Do we really need Heathers, the series? Remember the movie Heathers with Christian Slater, of course, and Winona Ryder, Shannon Doherty, 1988 movie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They are putting together a Heather's TV series.
My question is always, who's doing it?
TV Land.
Nope.
Now, here's the thing. Heather was like Mean Girls,
yeah.
But they murdered the Mean Girls instead of just sort of made them look bad.
Right.
So they said this is going to be sort of like an American Horror Story, Fargo, True Detective kind of thing, an anthology series. And they're also saying that what they may do is what some of those shows have done, which is use the same actors, but give different characters in different situations.
Right.
So, I don't know. Could have potential, but it seems like they're really reaching back into the bag of...
For everything.
For
every
everything.
Day you bring us a couple of these stories.
It's always some title from the 80s, wherever the people think maybe there'll be still some interest in, and that's what they're building their franchises around. It's just... seems ill-advised. But what do I know? Hey, before I say goodbye and give you the celebrity birthdays, how about tickets to WonderCon? WonderCon. WonderCon. It's one of the great Comic Cons in Southern California, happening at the Los Angeles Convention Center from March 25th through the 27th. It's comic books, it's science fiction, it's horror, it's fantasy, there's cosplay, comic books, celebrity guests. It's a great event. You can go to comic-con.org. for more details and to get your tickets there for WonderCon, or you can just call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers through with that phone number get a pair of single-day passes to WonderCon for use anytime March 25th through the 27th for WonderCon. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kurt Russell, 65. Gary Sinise is 61. Rob Lowe turns 52 years old today. Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins is 49. Hozier is 26, and John Boyega, Finn himself from The Force Awakens, turns 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes after 8 o'clock. Like we do on Thursday mornings, we check in with Jim Rome. You can hear his show on jimrome.com. I listen to it on 1090 a.m. out of, is it San Diego?
Jim? It is San Diego, Kevin.
I listen all the time. I
wake
love it.
Up, you got to make money.
That's right, exactly.
Or just wake up, bro.
Jim, welcome to the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Always good to be here.
Where do you want to start? March Madness?
Why don't we start with March Madness?
All right.
All right, so what we got here is, I've hit on this before on my show, but I'm not sure I've ever talked to you guys about this. Bracket guy is ruining the best event in all of sports by being the worst guy in the world. Let me tell you about Bracket Guy. Please. Al, you know Bracket Guy.
I hate Bracket Guy.
He rolls right. He rolls into the office. He bags it all up. He says things like, ring the bell, gentlemen. Lock and load. It's payday, baby. Read them and weep. Here's the answer key, fellas. Bracket guy. Nobody.
The worst.
I mean, nobody cares about your NCAA tournament picks. Tell me for the 30th time about that crazy birdie you made at Pebble Beach 10 years ago before you tell me about your crazy Cinderella pick. Nobody wants to hear it.
Here's the rule. If you win last year, maybe you can bring it up once.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
That's
nobody
it.
Really wants to even know if now, you won last year.
I was going to say the rule is nobody wants to okay. hear anything about it. And the thing about this guy is not only is he in your grill, that's not enough. He's the jerk who has to drop all his 12-5 upsets into his Twitter timeline, too.
Yep.
So bad enough that he's going to lose all 9 pools that he entered. He's going to lose all 12 followers that he has.
So don't be bracket guy is what you're
what
saying.
I'm saying is, bracket guy, you are a 16 seed in this tournament we call life. A guaranteed first round loser. Beat it, bag.
All right, let's change topics to baseball, and let's talk about Adam LaRoche.
This is really interesting.
Yeah.
One of the oddest baseball stories I've ever seen. So Adam LaRoche plays for the White Sox and just up and retired, left 13 mil on the table, apparently because the team will not let him bring his teenage son to the ballpark every single day. Like the team said, he's a great kid. We all like him. You just can't be here 100% of the time. You can't even be here 50% of the time. So apparently LaRoche just said, really? All right, I quit.
Now, when he says I quit, he's quitting baseball or he's quitting the team? Is he going to try and get picked up by somebody else? He's retiring?
No, he's retiring.
Okay.
He's allegedly retiring. I mean, how does that work? Let's be real, all right? Look, I love my kids. I adore my kids. They're two of my favorite people ever. Is there a more annoying day at work than bring your kid to work day?
No, there isn't.
All right, so imagine doing it every single day.
Every day. And the kid has a locker. An actual locker in the clubhouse with his name on it.
Did they ask him at first? They asked him just to cut it back.
Yeah, dial
right?
it back.
Yes,
dial
yes. They're not saying you cannot bring your son here. We love the kid. We just need you to dial it back. It's a really important year, and you can't have that kid. We can't have that kid here every single day or even half the time. You can bring him, just dial it back. And the guy's like, nah, I quit. And not only that, one more thing. He told his wife once, we're not big on school. He's going to learn a lot more in the clubhouse than he will any classroom.
Yeah.
Wow. No. What if the kid's not Bryce Harper? Maybe you don't want a 40-year-old sitting in a bar most nights talking about how awesome it was to be a bad boy.
Well, here's the thing, too. A lot of people are saying, this guy's a hero. He put family first. Well, it's easy to put family first when you're walking away and you have millions of dollars. But this just in, not everyone thinks that your kid's a special little snowflake.
No, I
agree. Cut it out.
I agree with Jim. My kids are my favorite people on earth. And yet I would never think of bringing them to work one day.
No.
Let alone every day.
That is zero self-awareness.
Guys, I get one day. I really do. I've had my kids in here a couple of times and it's neat, man. I love them. I'm proud of them. I love my job. I'm proud of my work. I want them to see what I do. It's fun once or twice.
Yeah.
They're not coming in every single day, man. That's just weird.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
It's weird, and he retired, and that's just as weird. Because he had 13 million, did you say, still left on the deal?
13 million
wow.
and hit about 206 last year. They're probably not that unhappy to see him go.
They're stoked on that kid.
They're like, all right.
Beat it.
Good work, kid. All right, let's change topics again. You had a guest on your show, Jim.
Charles Barkley.
Barkley is the
one
best.
One of my favorite guys. He is the best. So if the NCAA tournament is my favorite event, my favorite moment of the week was Charles Barkley. Now, you guys, we've talked about Blake Griffin before.
Yes.
I asked him what he thought about Blake breaking his hand, trying to break the face of a coworker half his size. And he said to me on my show yesterday, listen, I don't know what that guy said to Blake. And in fact, if somebody rolls up to me in a bar and throws a drink in my face, quote, I will beat their ass. Listen to this.
Jim, I don't worry about what everybody thinks about me. Anybody sitting out there listening to your show, you can't let a random stranger just throw a drink in your face and say, oh, you know what? I'm in the limelight. I should let that go. That's never going to happen, Jim. If I'm sitting around with you one night and somebody throw a drink on me and you, we're going to beat the ass down, Jim. I promise you that.
They're trying to hook you, Chuck. They're trying to get you to bite
know,
so they
I
get
know,
paid.
Jim,
and you
Jim,
know that.
I
you
wish
know that.
I wish I could get to the point where I was mature enough to let that go. But, Jim, I can't let it go. I'm not even going to lie to you. If you throw a drink on me, I'm going to beat your ass, plain and simple.
I love this guy.
That's why he's the best.
Right?
But correct.
Chuck, you know, you're on record now. Somebody's going to do it and sue your ass. And his
absolutely.
Response is, right, I will beat their ass.
That's just straight insanity. But didn't Blake Griffin, wasn't it a friend of his?
It was one of his best friends.
It wasn't a stranger that threw a drink?
Mm-mm.
No, it was a coworker, and I don't know exactly what that coworker said or what he did, but he got his face broken by Blake, and Blake in the process got his hand broken. But Chuck, I mean, who Charles Barkley
crazy.
Would say, I will beat your ass if you do that.
Yeah, that's so, insanity. That's why everybody might think it, but they would never say it out loud.
You know what he said also that was so great? He, years ago in Orlando, he got into it with a fan in a bar, and he ran this guy through a glass window, a plate glass window. And when the judge said to him, do you regret anything about that? He said, yeah, that we were on the bottom floor and not five floors up, because I would do it again. My man.
He does seem to be the best, doesn't he?
I can't condone it, but I can't say that it's not awesome.
Now, is he part of the March Madness coverage?
He's all about it.
Okay.
He's all over it. All over.
Oh,
it.
I hope he uses a touch screen. That went well.
He had trouble with that. He told me, quote, I took the touch screen out back and I shot it.
I don't blame him.
Didn't he take a dive off of the stage at one point, like a year ago?
No, that was Shaq.
Oh, that was Shaq that fell.
That was Shaq.
Oh,
that was
bad.
Shaq.
All right, I want to bring up one thing that I hate just as much as you hate Bracket Guy. Maybe more, Jim. And that's One Shining Moment. I hate that song.
You are so
that
wrong
song
with
is
that.
A is a POS because the March Madness is the greatest tournament in the world, other than the World Cup, which I think Jim Rome will agree with me.
No,
on.
He won't. No one will.
And the recap video is a love song. It's a freaking soft rock love song.
This is so awesome. This is playing out
every year.
I hate it.
Exactly. This is perfect. Literally every guy, most guys that I know kind of feel that way about that song and that recap. And then most wives and or girlfriends react just the way Allie is. They get all dusty. They can't wait. Like my wife would never ever say to me, please be quiet or stop talking ever. She never has, except during that song. Like, are you going to watch this with me? No.
That song is so terrible. Allie, he sings, the ball goes
I
up.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah.
Bring it home, Allie. Sing it, Allie.
You're playing for your life. You're
Allie, are you dusty?
Super
are you tearing
star.
Up, Allie?
She's crying.
I am UConn girl right now with the piccolo.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I hate that song. Do they do
so
it just
good.
Because it's free, Jim?
You guys should, but nothing's free. You know that. You should bump that song. Kevin,
yeah.
You should bump that every single day.
Here's
in
the
fact,
thing.
I want you to lead into my segments on Thursdays
that's
from
not
now
ever
on.
Happen,
I think that's
Jim.
A great idea, Jim.
That'd be awesome.
Here's the thing about that. Not ever going to happen.
Hey, Sanchez, can you turn that louder?
All right. You can follow Jim Rome on Twitter, at Jim Rome. You can go to his website, jimrome.com. I listen to him on 1090 AM here in Southern California. Jim, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
You guys are beautiful.
Thank
peace.
You. Bye. And we welcome to the studios, and I'm going to say them slowly because I've been unable to say your name so far, Kulop. I'm sorry. Am I saying your first name?
Yeah, you just
perfection.
Said that.
Perfection.
Right.
Kulop Vilaysack.
Wow.
I mean,
that's the first time
anyone's ever said
but
it.
But I did it really slowly so that I could get through it. And Scott Aukerman joins us
hello.
In the studio as well. Welcome, guys.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having us.
Hi.
So, such a pleasure to be back. My favorite show.
I feel like you just threw that off. Like you say it everywhere you go.
You know it. I've been a listener for as long as you've been doing it, since probably 1993-ish.
Nobody listened. We started the first day of 1990.
1990, okay. Did not listen.
No. But
second day, I'm in. All in.
But here's what I will say is that that was one of our first morning show jobs, so we were figuring out as we went, and we were terrible.
Really?
I mean, terrible.
When did you guys get good? Because I
we'll let you know.
Okay.
We'll give you that heads up at some point. Tell us about this new show, because this is a weird situation. Allie loves every show like this.
Yeah, Million Dollar Listing, L.A., New York. I love it because it's so awful and the people
yes.
are so heinous.
Yes.
All the Joshes, why are they all named Josh? I don't know. Why do I hate all of them? Oh, my God, your show is so good.
Okay. I hate all of those shows.
Okay.
And, oh, my God, your show is so good.
Yes.
Wow. We really bridged yes. the divide.
Yes.
Really
did. That's
we're bringing
what we're
people together.
Yes.
That's what you guys are known for. Describe the show for us, if you would.
It's essentially, if you're
It's called Bajillion Dollar Properties,
Bajillion.
First of all. Bajillion okay. Dollar Properties. So these are like the high-end properties.
So this is higher than...
Yeah. 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 Higher okay. than the million dollars.
Thank you.
And it's you're a, welcome. It's a fake... It's not a real word, so you know it's comedy. Bajillion. God.
And the whole show is made up of not real words, so
yes,
you won't
yes.
be able to understand it at all.
It's amazing.
It's just
that
like
you
bleep, lorp, flop, fleep.
Yeah, it's just like the Star Wars cantina. That's
yeah,
basically
it's a lot
of
what
it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. Think of it that way. So
Figuring Dan and the modal nodes.
So describe to people the office and the atmosphere and who's there and what they're doing and what
yeah,
they're working
for. Yeah, it's a sort of a fake Million Dollar Listing show, but it's basically Reno 911 set in the world of high-end real estate.
Right.
And Tom Lennon and Ben Garand of Reno 911 are the other executive producers. And we have a cast of seven people in an actual real estate office who are trying to sell houses to stars who are playing weirdos. So people like Adam Scott and Andy Richter and Horatio Sanz and Josh Groban and all these
Casey
great
Wilson.
People.
Wilson, they're playing weirdo / douchebags.
Okay,
yeah. And
well.
L.A. douchebags.
Right, now, well. I have a clip of Adam Scott that I'd like to play.
Great.
Because this shows how utterly absurd this show is, and it's why I love it so much.
Great.
So he's trying to sell his house, and who are the agents, the two
it's,
guys over there?
Ryan Gaul and Drew Tarver playing Andrew and Baxter.
And they're there to sell the house, and he's very, very, very eccentric. And this is the conversation that goes on as he describes his home to these two people who are going to sell it.
Listen, I want to write a song.
Do you sing?
Are you singing?
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm cutting an album downstairs. Did you know there's a recording studio in the basement?
That's going to make this
yeah,
place
we'd love
fly.
To see it.
It's f***ing dope, bro.
What's down there? You
got
like
everything,
full,
man.
Full studio?
Oh, yeah. I got a laptop and a microphone. It's got a door. No windows because it's like under the house.
It's a basement.
But I've got a laptop and just like this microphone. It's fucking dope, bro.
Yeah, I don't know if that qualifies as a home studio, but sure we can list it, you know.
It's a home studio.
Would you leave the equipment
it's a
in
home.
There?
It's my laptop, bro.
And the microphone?
It's my microphone, bro.
Okay, well, that's probably just a room then, if you take the equipment out
it's
of
it. It's a basement.
It's a basement.
It's a basement. Yeah. The cool thing about the show is it's improv'd. So it's it's improvised.
Wow.
So improvised?
Improvised, yeah. I'm sorry to shorten it. Improvised for the layperson.
Okay, got it.
So it's improv. So the two actors that are playing part of the real estate agent have no idea what he's going to say.
No, we shot for a good probably hour just out there of just Adam just kind of riffing on stuff. They knew where they had to get to, which was he decides to go ahead and use them as his listing agent. Mm-hmm. But the road there, we didn't really know what was going to happen.
Oh, my God. That makes it even better.
Yeah. It's genius.
I was already in.
Every
I'm
scene
so
is improvised.
Inner now. Yeah.
Yeah. You're so much inner?
Yes. You heard me.
And not just eccentric. He literally, when he's not drunk or high, forgets who they are
no
and what
memory.
They're doing
yeah.
there.
He doesn't remember them unless he's had about five shots yeah. and a little bit of cocaine.
So they show up, and he wants to throw them out. He takes a couple of shots, does a little cocaine. He's like, hey, guys, welcome.
Welcome back.
This is just pure insanity.
And then he yeah. sells his house, and he doesn't even remember selling it, so he yeah. shows back up.
So good.
Is it? I imagine it would be easy to talk actors that like improvising or improvisation.
Well, you said it like a real Englishman.
That was odd. That was an odd choice.
You were so distinguished.
I barely got it out is what happened. I feel like it would be easy to pitch them.
Yeah, it's real. It's so much fun. I mean, we had like Zach Galifianakis on, and he... you know, he was only there for an hour, and he was just like, this is the real way to do a show. This is like, you know, you come by for an hour, you just have fun. And that was the experience for everyone, you know. Yeah. They just, it was really the most fun show that I've been a part of. It's so much fun to do.
Better than Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah, way better. Absolutely. Comedy Bang Bang is such a pain in the ass to do.
Especially with Weird Al now.
Oh, boy, yeah. No, Weird Al is my new band leader.
By the way, I
the
said
greatest.
Better than Comedy Bang Bang, and Kulop was the first one to say, yeah, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, yeah. I've been through a lot, you guys. It's my NAM.
Yeah.
Comedy Bang Bang is your NAM? Yeah. Why do you say it like an American soldier, dude?
Am I not?
You're from the region.
Am I, though?
All right, tell us where to find the show.
You can find Bajillion Dollar Properties on CISO.com. That's where new episodes will roll out every Thursday. The first episode is actually up on YouTube for free. Anyone can watch it right now for free.
YouTube, Facebook.
That's the one that we just played the clip from?
Yeah.
Adam Scott?
Yeah, that's okay. The first one. And then the second episode is up today on CISO. And, it's such a funny show. It's truly one of the great pleasures of my life to be a part of this show.
It
so
is
good.
Great. Yes.
And we're going to have to talk about what CISO is coming up.
Yes, sure. We might want to clarify where it is.
CISO.com is a streaming service sort of like Hulu, but for comedy.
And it's spelled
S-E-E-S-O.
Okay, there you go. We'll take a break. We'll come right. Scott Aukerman is in the studio with us. Kula Vilaysack.
You got it
beautiful.
Again?
Two times.
Huh? I'm not done listening to the woohoos on that last song.
Oh, you want
woohoo, woohoo.
They have a new series called Bajillion Dollar Properties.
Mm-hmm.
With a dollar sign.
With a dollar sign. So it's proper Ty Dolla Sign, which is a rapper.
Sure.
Ty Dolla Sign. It's a shout out to him.
And this can be found at
CISO.com.
And what is this? This is a new site?
This is a
comedy?
New thing. NBC Universal started a kind of Hulu or a Netflix, but only for comedy.
Okay.
So because it's NBC Universal, they get all of the late night shows like Fallon and Seth Meyers. They get it all the next day.
Okay.
They get every single episode of SNL over the whole 40 years is on there.
Do they have anything that I would like to watch?
Okay.
Fawlty Towers.
Don't stop me yet.
Okay. They have amazing English acquisitions.
Yes. Yeah, they have money. Every episode. Why did I call it an episode?
I'm not positive.
Okay.
Maybe it's an app.
Every episode of Monty Python remastered in HD.
Excellent.
Every episode of Kids in the Hall remastered
good.
In HD.
Good, excellent. Mm-hmm.
All of this English comedy that's
IT
so great.
IT Crowd,
which is so, I don't know if
the
you've
best.
Seen that. So funny. Fawlty Towers, so much great stuff. And then they have all these original shows like Dan Harmon has a show coming out, Harmontown.
Harmon Quest.
I don't know. Who knows?
Scott's just making up words now.
Well, Harmontown is an actual thing at Meltdown Comics.
Yeah. That's true. Whoa, you know your stuff.
You're welcome.
I know everything.
Good night, everyone.
Now, the first two episodes are up of Bajillion Dollar Properties.
Yes.
Dollar sign.
Ty Dollar sign.
Today?
Yes, today. Yeah, okay. Both are up.
And then how are you rolling them out? Are they going to come out once a week? Are they going to come out all at once?
Whenever we want.
Just
no, it's once a week.
When you feel like it?
Yeah.
At our whim.
Did you consider, I don't know how it's working these days with putting up the whole season like Netflix does. Did
they,
you think about that? Or
well,
not?
You know, I didn't think about anything because they just told me what they were going to do.
Okay.
But,
and it will be once a week, every
a week.
Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. So they may experiment with that at some point, and at a certain point they'll all be out, and it'll almost be like they did it.
Right.
You know?
Right? Except for they won't have.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Right, okay.
And then you'll be able to do this new term called binge.
Binge watching.
Explain
binge.
What that is.
Yeah.
What does that word mean? Mm.
It's like overeating, except it's not.
Yeah.
With comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except
okay.
that it's not.
Except that it's not.
Okay, I'm confused.
You're never full because you always want more.
That's right.
So you can keep eating without getting full.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That I can understand.
Yeah.
Do you guys binge shows? It's very popular nowadays. Do
I've
you
heard
binge
about
watch?
It.
I do, and Allie does all
it's
the
all
time.
That's all I do.
She says I occasionally, but she'll watch. And dark shows, too. What
Hannibal?
Was Hannibal? She binge-watched Hannibal.
Yeah.
Why are you letting the devil into your life?
Then I murdered people. Yeah, it was weird. It was a dark time.
Mm.
So into it.
It was a weekend.
Yeah.
We were like, you've never seen Hannibal? Really? She comes back Monday. Saw them all.
Wow. Saw them all.
Yeah. I don't have a life, which is fine.
I'm so sorry.
I like TV.
When
yeah.
you binge-watch, though, it always is just one more. You just
yeah.
go, well,
I'll go one more.
It's not that late.
Like
if
Making
I just watch
a Murderer.
One more.
Yes.
You had to.
We were
if
watching Making
stop.
A Murderer in separate rooms because we were one episode off and we couldn't stop and wait for each other.
One of you couldn't just take a little break?
Nope. Have to see the next one.
The whole thing. What else do you binge?
You know, the usual stuff. I think I'm really excited for Daredevil, which is on Friday, right?
I think they're going to release it early.
Really?
I feel like they did with Orange is the New Black. I just feel it.
Okay.
I can't wait.
So you
I
have no
Daredevil
evidence.
So
she has no inside track. She simply has a feeling.
Yeah. I don't rely on facts.
That's a weird thing to have a feeling about.
I have Daredevil feelings.
She just squealed.
I love Daredevil.
There's something wrong with her, do you think?
Nope.
The Man Without Fear. I don't know.
Well, I love Jessica Jones. We binge that.
Yeah, we binge that.
That was my favorite.
JJ. yeah, you know, the usual stuff.
What about Love? Did you binge?
Oh, yes.
Did our friend
see that?
Paul. Yeah, our
did
friend
you
Paul.
See me in it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello. She worked at the TV show.
Yes, I played a
writer.
I don't
know that show. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't know that
Love
show.
Is great. Paul Rust and Gillian Jacobs. It's really great on Netflix. Right. Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah. How many episodes are you going to have of this show? I hope 20. I hope you're not doing the nonsense six or whatever they are.
We're doing 9 of the first season.
Yeah. 11.
You know, it's a weird number.
We got more.
We got an extra one. Mm-hmm. So we shot so much stuff that they went ahead and gave us an extra episode because we just had a ton of stuff.
It's too much to squeeze in.
So we have 9 and, you know, hoping to do more after that.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take to do one episode? Because if you're really improving the whole thing, it must take forever.
We factor probably two and a half days, but we shot in a really interesting way. Like, aside from like the first episode and our finale, most of the pieces were never assigned to a show, and we piece it together like a beautiful little Frankenstein baby.
I feel like maybe you guys don't know what you're doing.
What? Yeah,
no, we have no idea. We need help.
You know what? When you say it out, when it's said out loud,
I'm just saying,
it feels right.
No, we shoot. Basically, what we would do is we would get a beautiful house.
Right.
We would then get a whole bunch of improvisers in there. Mm-hmm. So we would probably have, like, you know, 8 people coming through that day. Okay. And we would just shoot scenes. And we would, like, turn the camera slightly. And, you know, this part of the house can be a totally different house. And we would just shoot a different scene. You know, every hour we would shoot a scene.
Okay.
And then we'll put those into episodes later. We don't know where they're going to go, but we stitch it all together using the great reality device of talking heads saying, and then I left that place and I went to this new place. You know, and you can make anything make sense that
so
way.
So what you're saying is you're going to have a whole bunch of extras that you're going to release.
Yes, we have so many little scenes that are not going to fit in the show that we're going to put online.
Excellent.
All right, Adam Scott is in the first one. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it yet, that's a very funny episode. Who else is coming up? You said Zach Galifianakis.
Jason Mantzoukas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Andy Richter.
Andy Richter, yes.
Dave Koechner from Anchorman.
The best.
He's super funny in it.
Let's see. Paul Scheer.
Gillian Jacobs, the aforementioned Gillian Jacobs.
Paul Rust.
Casey Wilson.
I feel like Allie knows as much about this as you guys do.
Patton Oswalt,
yes.
Can I pull everybody? Scott Aukerman.
Oh, that's right. I'm in it.
Oh, that guy's in it?
Yeah, he's in it.
Not a fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, to each their own. Tom Lennon.
You're okay with that.
Yeah.
Tom and Ben from Reno 911, they are executive producers there. They play like rival owners of a rival real estate agency that are super scuzzy and are always
super
trying
tan.
To ambush our guys.
Super tan, both have monobrows.
Sweet, I like it. In, right?
I think Serbian, I think.
Vague accents.
And the accents, they'll come and go, you know, like the waves crashing in and out.
The whitewashing of Hollywood continues.
I like it. I like it. Comedy Bang Bang, when is that coming back with Weird Al?
We're coming back in a bit. I don't know the exact date, but in a few months. And Weird Al.
Allie Scott's shaky.
I don't
have the answers.
I don't even know if he's done any of this work.
I don't want to go back, guys. I want to go back.
He's working 7 days a week on both shows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's great.
How'd you get Weird Al?
Okay, so Kid Cudi was my band leader last season, and he was great. And then at the last minute, he decided to go on tour instead of doing the show.
Son of a bitch, right?
And so we were supposed to start shooting relatively soon, and I didn't quite know what to do. So I had done auditions for a band leader when Kid Cudi stepped in. I'd auditioned a ton of musicians, and I didn't know what to do. So I just happened to on a whim, throw an email to Al and say, you know, I know you're busy, you're in the middle of this mandatory fun tour, but if you're not doing anything between January and May of next year...
That's such a huge amount of time. There's no way you would have thought he
could
come back.
There's no way. And he wrote back, within 10 hours and said, well, you know, I actually weirdly don't have anything planned those particular months, and it's my favorite television show, and I'm in.
Wow.
It was that easy.
That's
it was crazy.
Awesome.
He's a great man.
He's been awesome. He's been so much fun to work with, and I think people are going to love what he's done with the show. He re-sang the theme song.
He's got to make it his own.
Yeah, he's doing theme songs for every person who sits on the couch.
Good.
So, like, for instance, Kevin Bacon is on one of our upcoming episodes, and so he did a whole Kevin Bacon song. Sweet. Hey, what's shaking, Kevin Bacon?
Love it.
Is that the total length of it?
Nope. No, okay. It goes on for a while.
Can I tell you a funny Weird Al story?
Yes, please.
We had him in the studio, and he said, hey, thanks for coming. We had a great time, everything. Goodbye. And he turned around. He walked over there where that board is with the pieces of paper stuck on it. Mm-hmm. There's a tiny little, like, 2-foot by 2-foot. Like little window door thing.
Okay. Like a handle.
Like
on
a
it.
Handle on it. And he turned around and tried to open it like he was going to be able to walk out of the studio.
Well, he's a weird guy. It makes sense to me.
And we all just sort of took a second. We were like, was he being funny? So we asked him the next time he came in, were you being funny? He's like, no, I wasn't paying attention. I just thought that
and
was it.
And that's how he landed into comedy, actually. He thought those songs he was making were real songs.
He didn't realize it?
Yeah, he didn't realize they were parodies. He lucked into...
This sounds like other people's music, and then he wanted to sue, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They were going to sue, and instead they said, just be a comedy star.
Well, I can't wait for that. Comedy Bang Bang, as you know, is one of our favorites.
Thank you. Can we come back? I'd love to come back with Al before the premiere.
Please
do.
Weird Al, and this is a strange thing to say, Bean's on vacation this week, but is Bean's favorite human being of all time.
It's concerning.
Now, we all love Al. But that's a strange choice, right?
Right.
If you had to pick a number one of all time.
Number, I mean, especially personal to you.
Yes.
I mean, did well, Al save Bean's life
at
one point?
He doesn't do the personal thing.
Oh, okay.
So from afar, he thinks Al would be fun to hang out with. I think that's how he makes up his mind.
Well,
you would be very welcome to come back with or without Al. But
and it would still be from afar, though, because Bean is
true.
He does everything from afar, right?
That is true. He might be watching us on that camera right now.
Oh, boy.
We don't know that. And bajillion
dollar properties.
Thank you for finishing that for me. Is it CISO.com?
That's right.
And it's going to be, there's two of them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can look it up on YouTube right now and watch the first one and see if you like it. And if you like it, go join CISO. CISO is only $3.99 a month, which is cheap at twice the price. But it's not twice the price. It's the price.
He's back.
Wow.
Scott also has the podcast, the Comedy Bang Bang podcast. Mm-hmm. And Kulop has charted.
Who charted?
Great
as
show.
Well.
Yep.
So there you go. You guys,
I love them.
We're really happy that you came in. I love this new show. It's
thank
so great.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it's
so
such
much.
So fun to work on.
So we appreciate it. And come back with Al.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Not without, but I'm saying without.
We're really, not without.
Right.
Okay, I better get Al on the horn.
Okay. So go right to it or don't
no,
go?
No, don't is what I'm saying.
Play it right away.
Do
or
not.
Go?
Nope.
Okay. Do not. It needs a set up.
It's the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Real quickly, happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Right.
Last year on this very same date, I was surprised by the information that the largest number of Irish Americans lives in the state of California.
Uh-huh.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised because we probably have the biggest population, right, state
sure.
in terms of a state. But it took me by surprise because you don't think of California automatically as an Irish-centric
state. Yeah, you think more
state.
New England.
Right.
Yeah.
So I posed this question to Kevin. Last year, I posed the question, what state do you think has the most Irish Americans? That was a year ago. This morning, I posed the same exact question.
Mm-hmm.
What happened... is the stuff of miracles.
It's a blessed, blessed miracle.
This is a very special St. Patrick's Day moment with
it's consistency.
The back-to-back clips you're about to hear are 1 year exactly apart. Please enjoy.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That happened this morning.
Through the magic of editing.
I'm still shaking. I'm still shaking. I feel like I've seen Jesus and a piece of toast. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the miracle that is Kevin's brain.
I taste pennies.
It's
consistency.
It's beyond consistency. It's magic.
It's genius.
It's inception. It's the inception of dumb. It's a dumb inside of a dumb, and I need to spin a top and see whether it falls or not to even know if I'm awake. That's how magical it is.
But when you multiply dumb by dumb, you get smart,
no,
right?
No, you don't. You get
double the dumb.
You get an exponential amount of dumb.
Okay. I don't understand how that works.
Dumb pie.
All right. It's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Amber Rose. Right? I love Amber Rose. I think she's stunning. I think she's stunningly beautiful. She's not my type usually, which is a bald, overly tattooed woman.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not usually what I go for.
But unless, she's a Philly girl, so you love
the,
that.
Unless I'm at the circus. Unless I'm going through the sideshow, then I love the bald tattoo women.
And how often does that happen?
Very rarely. Okay. Am I on the midway looking at the freaks. But I think she's stunningly beautiful. Mm-hmm. And as Ali mentioned, she is a Philly girl, so she's already got a little piece of my heart. But she's really stepping out. Today, she has announced her support of the Free the Nipple campaign.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she posted some new topless photos on her Twitter page, which is lovely. But she also has announced that she is organizing her second slut walk.
Slut walk?
The slut walk. Now, that may not sound necessarily feminist, but in reality, it's quite a feminist event, and I think it's kind of cool. This all presented itself because there was a police officer in Toronto in 2011 who suggested that women not dress as sluts as a way to prevent sexual assault.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
And to put the onus on women and to make to blame the victim in these cases is beyond repugnant. And as a response, Amber Rose has organized something she calls the Slut Walk, which is basically women dressing however they choose to, protesting sexual injustice and victim blaming. And it is a consciousness-raising event. The first one was held last year here in Los Angeles on October the 3rd, and she is putting together another one. She's asking her social media followers to weigh in on where it should take place, L.A., Miami, New York, or Philadelphia. So if you have an interest, you can go to Slut Walk 2016, or you can go to her Instagram or Facebook or Twitter page and support the Slut Walk. And it's certainly an attention-grabbing name, and it is a cause which needs to be, I think, highlighted, that women are never to blame when it comes in cases of any sort of sexual assault, and men need to be able to control themselves in all situations, and to blame women is beyond reprehensible. So I'm with Amber Rose on this one.
Agreed.
I'm with Ralph and Amber and Kevin and Green.
Would you like to be with me and Amber? Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
Wow.
Bow, waka, waka. Yeah. That's right. Uh-huh.
To Bone Town.
Yeah. And see if Steve Kaznicki wants to come
not
by.
Steve Kaznicki and no.
Stop saying
no.
His name.
Steve right. is not dirty like that.
But I said it funny.
Ralph says it and yells at Allie.
I said the funny version. Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kurt Russell's 65 years old today. I love me some Kurt Russell. One of my favorite performers. If he's in anything, I'm automatically there. One of those performers who never gives a bad performance, even in some less than stellar projects. He is always fun to watch. And now he's just been cast in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's going to be Star-Lord's dad in that film.
Sweet.
Chris Pratt and Kurt Russell as dad and son. I'm all in.
I'm in.
Gary Sinise is 61 years old today. Actor Rob Lowe, The Grinder, is 52. You watching The Grinder?
I watch it on and off,
it's
yes.
It's very
and it's
fun
really
show.
Funny, yeah.
Really entertaining.
I like it.
Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins, of course, is 49. Hosier is 26. And John Boyega, you know him as Finn from the Star Wars universe. He is 24 years old today.
And Attack the Block.
What
have you
happened?
Seen that? Attack the Block, his first kind of big movie. Moses.
That's when the aliens came down
yes!
and they were fighting him in their neighborhood. Of course.
So good!
Of course. Come on, Ralph.
There's a moment of clarity.
I am so impressed.
Look at my top. It's still
oh
spinning.
Goodness.
No, my top is still
oh,
spinning.
It's out of control.
Yeah, we're in a dream.
Wow.
We're in
What's
a dream.
Happening?
This isn't real. Kevin came up with something.
I like that movie.
Yeah, this is a dream. This
How
is a dream
you?
Inside of you. Someone let me fall. Let me fall so I can wake up and spinning. Snap out of this. I'm Ralph Garner. I walk the showbiz beat.
On Thursday mornings, we like to check in with the good doctor. Dr. Drew is on the program. Hi, doctor.
Kevin, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Very good. Thank you. Tell me about Psycho Mike Catherwood last night.
Yeah. So
what
Mike,
is up?
Called everybody into the studio, and he goes, I got something to say. And he proceeded to announce that he is going to be stepping down from Loveline. And I thought, oh, perfect. Send him over to Kevin and Bean.
Oh, he started with us, Drew.
I know. Sure. And you ran the other way.
Well, I'm saying he got us in a lot of trouble. That's all. So we shipped him over to you.
Only once. In any event, he, you know, the reality is he's done a great job, and it's been a pretty good run for him. And he needs to focus. He's got some interesting things going on on television. He's got a baby now, and so it's time for him. And he'll be missed, man. He did a great job, and I don't know what we're going to do, but we will not have Mike going forward.
Drew, may I make a suggestion?
Would you throw your hat in the ring?
I'm going to throw beer mugs hat.
Oh, Muggs is looking for a gig.
Oh.
Muggs, beer mug does good work.
He just lights up the airway.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're in?
I'm completely in. Well, you can certainly give it a try.
Yeah. That's hot.
That's hot.
Yeah.
That is hot. Dr. Drew, we wanted to talk to you today
Hang on, before you do, I'm just thinking,
yes,
I have to go through every color individual you've had, you know, every color commentator you've had on your show. Everybody comes on Loveline.
Are you blaming us?
No.
Is it our fault?
Thank you for being a nice farm squad. Well done.
Okay. So Muggs is next, and I think that'll all work out well. I mean, it's going to be really sad when he's not here in the morning, right?
Oh, yeah. You'll be devastated.
All right, Dr. Drew, let's talk about Mama June.
Yeah.
Mama June is getting something called gastric sleeve.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, I think I don't understand really. First of all, let me full disclosure. I am not a fan of bariatric surgery, which is what this is called, which is having essentially the sort of common lingo is your stomach is stapled, mm-hmm. so you can't eat. It's a treatment for obesity. While, on the other hand, I'm very sympathetic to the disease of people that have real disease of obesity that really can't lose weight no matter what they do, and these surgical interventions can be quite successful. But let's not kid ourselves. These are big surgeries. They have all the complications inherent in surgery, anesthesia, bleeding, infection, and complications of the procedure or the particular intervention like a sleeve, which can leak, which can get infected, which can fall apart, which can need revisions. So most of the people I've dealt with that have had these bariatric surgeries have had complications, have needed to go back for more. And, yes, they've lost the weight, but people even learn to eat around these procedures. Now, I'm a little mystified why this one is so powerful. So popular. I'm somewhat suspicious that it has something to do with its name.
How does it differ from the other ones?
Well, it doesn't differ that much. That's what I'm finding so curious about it. It's essentially removing most of the stomach and then putting in this little device that they call a sleeve. I think people somehow like the idea that a sleeve is going over their stomach and holding their stomach. No, it's actually not even like that. It's you remove the stomach, you staple it down, you put this little sleeve at the other end. And, you know, it's technically a good intervention, and it works pretty well. But, man, it's not a minor deal.
What did you mean when you said you could eat around it?
Well, some people can live to expand the stomach they have left. They can really eat through this procedure. They can keep eating and expanding their stomach. Now, most people don't. Most people do lose significant amounts of weight. In addition to the complications such as, a leak in the device, or at least what's called the anastomosis of the tissue with the device, or infection or bleeding. You can also get nutritional problems. You can get dumping syndromes. You can get all kinds of, you can get reflux. I've had people had reflux where they, you know, because they've had their upper gastrointestinal tract screwed with, sometimes things will reflux back up when they sleep and they get aspiration pneumonias. I mean, it's a big deal. And I guess Mama June has gone for this. Is
well,
that right?
Let me ask you this question. Is being that heavy, doesn't that come with its own negative side
effects? Yeah, no, absolutely. That's entirely true, Kevin. And the fact is that these are desperate interventions for a serious condition. And I'm sympathetic to that. I really am. And they do kind of work. So I'm not saying, oh, my God, this is the worst thing. I'm just saying I'm not a fan. I really am an enthusiast of much more aggressive behavioral interventions. And I've seen a lot of problems with this. So it's not – people think, oh, I'll just get this taken care of and everything will be fine. I'll lose the weight. Yeah, you do. You know where the really strange sort of side effect I saw early, I was one of the first people to report this, is that when the emptying of alcohol into the small bowel is more rapid than normal, which is what happens as a result of these procedures, people are prone to develop severe alcoholism.
Really? They get drunk quicker?
Yeah. The alcohol is hitting the brain at much higher concentration, much quicker. So much like crack or heroin or things that get there at high doses very quickly, of course, you develop a more intense reward and a more intense behavioral outcomes. So people that may have had maybe a mild predisposition for alcoholism genetically or biologically, can suddenly explode after a bariatric procedure with terrible alcoholism. I'd seen that years ago, and people denied it. Now they're finally reporting it.
Well, that's kind of goes hand in hand with what I was going to ask. Obviously, if you're getting this surgery, you're obese, you've had some problems. You're just masking what drew you there in the first place. Well, are people that are getting the surgery, are they then getting the therapy they need to address why they were eating that much?
Yes and no. I mean, they're getting behavioral interventions, and they're getting nutritional counseling. But, Al, you're getting onto something here which I think is, in fact, almost always overlooked, which is that oftentimes people that eat compulsively like that have had severe childhood traumas. I had one woman, I don't know if this is a morning story or not, but
I'm going to say no then. I'm going to say I'm guaranteeing that it's not going to
be. Let me see if I can frame
okay,
it.
Okay, please.
I had this one woman that was being sexually abused by her father repeatedly as a little girl. And at the end of the episode, and this was, she would perform not intercourse, but other things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And at the end, he would hand her milk and cookies and go, "It's because I love you so much."
Oh,
and then
no.
She just compulsively ate after that. She couldn't stop eating to sort
oh,
of
my gosh.
Fill the void that this maniac, this reprehensible beast had created. Isn't it something? And then
yeah,
never goes
crazy.
Treated. Never gets treated. And by the way, not an easy thing to treat and not inexpensive to treat.
Is somebody like Mama June, like I feel like I'm super lucky in that if I ate a lot, I would never end up that heavy. Is that
predisposed to it?
Yeah, is that a DNA thing?
Or? Yeah, and that's sort of the argument why bariatric procedures are sort of an appropriate intervention. You're dealing with a biology that they can't overcome no matter what they do. And a certain percentage of people, absolutely, that's true. I mean, you look at their family and you sort of see, oh, there's a certain thing going on here. But some of that is behavioral too. But be that as it may, yes, there's a point to be made that the biology and genetics plays a huge role, and that's where the initial enthusiasm for bariatric surgery got going.
So what are the outcomes? What are the possible outcomes? I mean, if she pays close attention to it, might it go well, or might there be all kinds of side effects that you just don't know?
I'm going to predict, well, it's Mama June, after all.
Yeah.
I'm going to predict that she will be happy with this. She will lose weight, and then there will be some usual, there'll be nutritional problems and other bowel problems, and later on, there will be problems with reflux, and there will be problems with maybe leaking of this thing. And so it's the beginning of a path. You know, people, even plastic surgery, we had Dr. Ray on earlier in the week from Dr. Now 210, and he was talking about how these things, any time he implants something, he knows he's going to have revisions and need to redo it. And people don't think that way. They think, oh, that's done, surgery,
yeah,
fixed.
Quick fix.
And it's a surgery. You're changing your body, and you're putting a foreign body in, and it's going to need further revision.
All right. Well, thank you for your thoughts today, Dr. Drew. You can hear Dr. Drew. He is on call on HLN. He also is on KABC. Is Psycho Mike doing that with you?
He is doing that.
Okay.
He's going to continue that. And we'll, hopefully he'll be around in a couple of weeks. So those of you who want to pay your respects, stop on by Loveline and talk to Mike.
And then Loveline with Beer Mug will continue after that.
K-Rock. Bye.
Thank you, Doctor. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:44. You can go to krock.com for a couple of different things. You can watch Beer Mug interview people at the Shake Shack.
I want to see that.
Right?
You don't have to watch him eat, do you?
No. Okay. Well, I think you may.
Oh.
Yeah. I think you may.
Oh, just the sound of it. It sounded like...
Yeah. It wasn't ideal.
It
I was
going
to say something. Usually you have to hear that sound coming out of a trough.
Yeah.
Some sort of trough has to be involved with those kind of noises.
But the remix.
Nope. Oh,
the remix.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
I want to see
that.
I want to see the music video for that duet.
I don't.
That's
want
a
to.
Little magic.
Right? It's disgusting.
And also, don't forget the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness opening act. You can still put in your application for that. 2 minutes of video. You upload it tomorrow at 10 a.m. is the deadline. And then we will announce the top 10, and you can vote on who's going to be the opening act.
For those of that who are still haven't heard about that process, it's kind of an amazing opportunity for local comedians to open up the April Foolishness comedy show in front of a room full of, I don't know, what's 6,000? What's the shrine hold?
It's a big
6,000-ish.
You get to play to the biggest audience of your career, and it is a great opportunity. We had Eddie Pence, who won last year, came out, and he got a little bump in his career for having done it, and you get a chance to hang with us and the other comedians. And
could be a disaster. You don't know.
It's a cool opportunity.
It's a cool opportunity. That's what I meant.
To get up there and show off your stuff. So if you'd like to Give it a shot. As Kevin mentioned, you can go to krock.com and get all the details on how you can upload your 2 minutes of comedy video for us to take a look at.
Can I just clarify 2 minutes?
And then we'll let the audience choose their favorite for this year's April Foolishness.
All right. Time for the last showbiz beat of the day. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it is St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patty's Day to everyone out there of Irish descent. And even if you're not, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, right?
It's true.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite holidays, not just because I'm an Irish American, but because I get to drink. Yeah, finally, once a year I get to drink. No, I get to pose interesting facts about St. Patrick's Day, which I always find interesting. For example, I did mention that the reason St. Paddy's Day falls on the 17th of March is because back when they decided to create a day honoring St. Patrick, there was a debate about what day he died on. Did he pass on March 8th or March 9th? Mm-hmm. And so what they did was they combined the two dates, they added them together, came up with 17, and they decided to celebrate on the 17th.
And that's dumb, but go ahead.
It's not dumb at all. St. Patrick, for example, was actually English, but he was kidnapped by pirates as a boy and taken to the island of Ireland, where he then was raised as Catholic and became a priest. Did you know that?
Pirates.
I feel like you just made that up.
Fascinating. No, it's a fascinating story.
I feel like he just made that
up. And another little factoid that I discovered last year, which I brought up, was like what state in the United States has the largest number of Irish American citizens? I thought that was fascinating. So I asked that question last year on this very same day, and I got an interesting response from Kevin about what state had the most Irish Americans in it. So here it is a year later, and I figure, well, that was sort of an interesting factoid. I'll bring it up again. You, God damn it, if Kevin didn't show up in a big, big way. It's like a St. Patrick's Day miracle. It was maybe one of my favorite moments in history ever. It all happened this morning, so for your enjoyment, please, here's a St. Patrick's Day moment with Kevin.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the Union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
That yep. was I mean, a moment yep. with Kevin.
Kevin, God damn it.
The state of Boston. Boston. Was Kevin's response 2 years running. Now, next year.
I caught it.
You know what I'm going to do?
I think the first time, if Allie wouldn't have mentioned it, I probably wouldn't have even noticed it. But right. She did correct me the first time. And then I caught it
this year. What happened this year?
Just dumb.
But he caught it
but I
after
caught it.
He said it.
So sort of dumb, yeah. But not quite dumb.
Dumb adjacent.
Dumb adjacent. Thank you.
It's not easy to
so
say.
So next year. It'll be back to Massachusetts. he'll catch himself like mid mistake.
It'll take me about 5 years.
Five years from now, we're going to get a straight up Massachusetts. That's my prediction.
I love it.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
By the way, the answer is not Massachusetts either.
No,
it isn't even right.
California. California has the largest number of Irish Americans. We'll see if he remembers that.
So you're saying it's going to take me 5 years to get Massachusetts out?
Right.
How long
to get the correct wrong answer out?
Okay. All right. Can't wait.
Let's give away some tickets to Paley Fest. Paley Fest 2016 is upon us. It's a great event done by the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio. PaleyCenter.org, PaleyCenter.org is the place to go to get all your details and tickets for this great event, which is a series of evenings dedicated to the best in television. They gather the cast and creative teams behind some of your favorite TV shows, and then they do a tribute evening to them. It's a great night. You get to see all your favorite stars, and then you can also ask questions of everybody from the audience. I've got tickets for the March 19th night of Paley Fest 2016, which is Stars Salute Dick Wolf. Now, you may or may not know that name, but Dick Wolf is one of the most prolific television creators, maybe in history. When you think about his body of work, first of all, he started off with Law and Order. Bum, 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 bum. Then he gave us Law and Order SVU, Law and Order Criminal Intent, Law and Order Parking Division. Remember those parking divisions? Those people getting murdered with giving up tickets?
I don't think so.
A lot of Law and Orders. We got a lot of Law and Orders.
Right.
Then he started with his Chicago chunk. Mm-hmm. Not like beer mug Chicago chunk.
Yeah,
very
it was
different.
Pretty good.
We had Chicago Fire and Chicago PD. and
Chicago Hope,
Chicago Nighttime.
Chicago Hope was a show,
but thank not you. His, mm-hmm. but not his. Chicago yeah, Med, close right? Enough. Chicago Medics, Chicago Health,
Chicago Health,
Chicago sure Catheter it. Squad. I forget the name of it. Uh-huh. And Chicago Fire. Did we mention that?
Yes.
He's got all the Chicago cornered,
right? Except for Hope.
That wasn't his.
Except for the one great I came show, up with.
Though. Anyway, massive tribute to Dick Wolf on the 19th. If you're
yay!
A fan of Dick's and you would like to spend the evening, why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Just one pair of tickets? Mm-hmm. One pair of tickets.
Been working with me too long, Ralph.
To the lucky, lucky caller who gets through first at that phone number. A pair of tickets to attend the Stars Salute Dick Wolf Night from Paley Fest 2016. Kids love Dick. They do. Can't get enough of him. He's the best.
Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf is a
Allie,
course.
I don't know what you're thinking.
What are you talking about?
Why would you mention my name?
Because you said, like...
Hulk Hogan's still suing Gawker for $100 million. They put his sex tape up on their website. Just a little taste of it. Just a little chunk.
Yay!
Kids loved it. It was Hulk Hogan having sex with his then-best friend's wife. His best friend being Lova? Bubba the Love Sponge. A radio DJ out of Florida, and his wife, Heather, now ex-wife Heather, was having sex with Hulk, and they filmed it. And then that video got leaked, and Gawker put it up, claiming it was newsworthy, so they were legitimately able to put it on their news website. Hulk Hogan is claiming it was not. It was an invasion of his privacy, $100 million at stake in this trial. Well, Heather testified yesterday about the videotape, claiming that, yes, her ex-husband did enjoy recording her having sex with other men. But in this case, she had no idea that she was being filmed with Hulk Hogan.
What?
How could she know?
Gotta check that out.
I was asked to go into Mr. Bollea's room by my husband, and I did, she said.
Now, you said
that's a wife. That's an accommodating wife where you just say, hey, could you go in that room and bone that dude? And she's like, sure, honey.
Giddy up.
Giddy up. She was surprised and shocked when she discovered that the encounter had been taped.
She was murdered a couple of weeks ago in New York City.
No, she was not murdered in New York City. She's
really
fine.
Sad.
She's not sad. She's
it is
fine.
Sad,
it's
though,
not.
That she was murdered.
Why?
She wasn't. That's what I'm trying to say. She wasn't murdered. She's fine.
And I don't even know what that is.
Being fine means not being murdered. And she told her husband to destroy the video.
Yeah.
She said she thought he had done so. Until Gawker published a portion of that tape in 2012.
So glad you dig me.
So she is holding up Terry's end of the story.
What's going on?
Terry, of course, being the Hulkster, saying that it was all unbeknownst to them. They had no idea it was being recorded, and thereby it was an invasion of privacy, and Gawker must be held responsible and pony up $100 million. So we'll wait and see. You know what else is inappropriate?
Kevin.
But also, sexually aggressive women, says Superman.
What?
Superman.
Who's Superman?
What? Henry Cavill.
Oh, screw you, Henry Cavill.
Says he is constantly being put upon by sexually forward women.
Cranky.
Who come up to him and say complimentary things, but they are disrespectful to his 19-year-old smoking hot girlfriend who's often in earshot. He says, believe me, I've heard some things in my time, but I can't repeat them.
Touch me, I'm going to scream.
So please, ladies, stop coming on to Superman, especially when his 19-year-old smoking hot model girlfriend is around. Because
how about the whores?
Making her uncomfortable.
Okay, I support him on that.
Yeah. Have some respect, right?
Yeah, I support you, Henry, on that.
Because I'm sure his girlfriend's like, that's Toad's Aki.
You think so?
Yeah.
Pretty little face.
OMG, that's totes in a propo, or whatever 19-year-old supermodels say.
Oh, my God, really?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kurt Russell, one of my favorites. He's 65 years old today. Gary Sinise celebrates his 61st birthday. Rob Lowe is 52. Billy Corgan celebrates 49 years today. Hozier is 26. And John Boyega, Finn from The Force Awakens.
Oh.
He is 24 years old. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the show's beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, so we've got the movie beat. We have Gerard Carmichael on the program tomorrow talking about his TV show. We have tickets for Radiohead. We have tickets for WonderCon. We have tickets for Batman v Superman.
Oh, where stock them deep and sell them cheap.
And we're going to talk to Daniel Cormier about fighting Jon Jones.
The Martian Manhunter?
No, this is an actual UFC fighter.
Yeah.
You disappoint me every time you say that name.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.